The following episode is brought to you by Rorschach. Who is Rorschach? To find out, visit hearustalk.com/who is he.
Hey everyone, this is Justin from Australia. I fucked your fucking sister's face today. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking bitches.
Oh snap! welcome one and all to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right, this is the DJ New Style Show. And I gotta say, it's a very special episode of the DJ New Style Show. Not unlike the others, in that we also have Shawnee Murphy. Shawnee, how you doing, bud?
Doing good.
I'm not. My voice is fucked up.
Yeah, you sound like shit.
I do sound like shit. I'm coughing. I have a terrible fucking cough. It's reminiscent of the time that I was told that I had whooping cough. I went to the doctor after, like 4 weeks after I should have. And I noticed that this cough feels a lot like that cough. But when I went then, the doctor, I guess, just wanted to get rid of me. Gave me like the Z-Pak, standard fucking antibiotics. And it went away. But he told me that I had whooping cough.
He told you that?
Yeah.
Like, that's like one of those like childhood diseases they had in like Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
And when the baby would die.
when you would make your house out of shit that grew on your land. that's when whooping cough was still around. Hold on. Doesn't sound good.
No, it does not.
I'm trying not to do it in the microphone. But it feels like there's a steady drip of slime going down the back of my fucking throat and just in windpipe, top of the lungs.
Actually, whooping cough is now at its highest level since the 50s.
You see?
So you're just on the peak of, or the rise of a trend here. You're bringing it back.
I'm an old disease hipster. I guess that's what it is. I am a hipster to fucking nearly defunct diseases.
Wait, there's a vaccine for it. It's like one of those vaccines you get when you're a little kid.
So the guy told me I had this fucking disease, and he didn't give me the cure.
No, like, you probably already had it. He's probably full of total shit.
Unless my parents were hippies, and they didn't... No vaccines for my fucking child. I won't let you inject poison into my son.
I think this website might have a listen link for what a whooping cough actually sounds like.
Okay, what's the actual site?
The following article is from Kids Health.
No, I think they're just going to read the article to me.
Oh, fuck them. I don't want to hear it.
It's just an audio.
I already know that I have whooping cough. I was told that I had it. The thing is, though, the doctor is obviously just shuffling through people. It's a fucking people mill. They go in, they go out, they all get the same shit. You know, everybody that goes in the first time gets some kind of antibiotic.
Like 98% of doctor's visits result in antibiotics. Like you have like a sprained ankle.
Yeah.
You walk out with a pack of antibiotics before you leave.
No shit. I had a swollen ankle once because my shoes, I guess, they didn't fit right or something, and I didn't notice it, but I noticed my ankle was swollen on one side. They gave me antibiotics. Went away. Like, that is like, that's the fuck it, I don't know what it is, swallow this, and if it goes away, cool. Don't fucking talk to me if it does.
Actually, the last time I went to the doctor, she's like a young doctor, and you're really not supposed to prescribe antibiotics anymore because it's just going to end up killing all of us because we're making the super bugs now.
That's true.
And this doctor was like, yeah, how long have you been sick for? I'm like, I don't know, like 3-4 days. She's like, listen, if you're still sick and after a week, you come back and we'll give you antibiotics. But she's like, I'm not giving you anything. She's like, here, go get some Mucinex and go cry or something, you faggot.
See, that's why I wait. I usually wait and then and I tell them I've had this for like 3-4 weeks. And
really, you wait 3-4 weeks with a cough like that?
Well, I did the Robitussin or the I have the Tussin brand, Robitussin. Which says, if in 2 weeks this doesn't go away, go to the doctor.
I don't think it says 2 weeks on there, does it?
Maybe
I think it says a week.
Okay, maybe it's a week. Whatever it is, but that's not like my first day that I cough, I go buy it. It's usually I wait like a couple weeks before even trying that.
Yeah, so. But that's not a cure for anything. That's just taking care of the symptoms. I think the idea is that if you've had the symptoms for a week, that's when you're supposed to go to the doctor.
Whatever, dude.
It's not for when you first start using this product. Like, if
I thought the way I interpreted it was, if you use this and nothing fucking changes in a week, then just fucking go to the doctor.
Yeah, but that stuff's not going to do anything to help. All it does is make it so you stop coughing. Like, you're still sick.
I cough all the way through Robitussin.
So that doesn't help you at all, then. It does nothing for you.
I have some Ricolas. And a nice bag of Ricolas here. Lemon honey with echinacea.
Do they still have those Ricola commercials with the Swiss up on the mountain with the horn?
I don't know. I think they just do the quick Ricola, and then they like show the fucking mom walking into the kitchen preparing a salad, and like the little drippy nose kid comes in looking sad, and she just slides him down the countertop, and then like maybe they play it again Ricola, and that's it. They don't show the mountain men anymore. Fuck them.
See that was in that weird stage where we started getting hit with European style commercials, like the Mentos commercial.
Yes.
And the Ricola commercial.
Yeah, that was probably the first time I saw a Vespa, one of the Mentos commercials. But yeah, the Ricola ones, they got their soundbite. Now they don't need them anymore. Fuck those guys with those horns.
Just completely screwed them over.
Yeah. But yeah, that was the invasion of the European-style commercial to American society. I remember it well. It was like, what, 91?
Something like that, yeah.
I think it was about 91, but I remember the commercial. I'm like, what is this shit?
Yeah, like nobody had any fucking idea like what this product was. It was bizarre.
And they sold them next to candy. That was the fucked up thing. There was like that section in the candy aisle, like the impulse aisle, that now they've removed two of them in every supermarket, so you have the candy-free aisle for your fucking parents that can't tell a kid no. But in every aisle, they had the candy, and it would be like Snickers, Butterfinger, and then it would slowly descend into like pseudo-medicine, where it would always end with Halls.
It's just a gradient,
yeah,
from pure candy. So like you start on one end, it's like Snickers.
Yeah, but these were like in between the Tic Tacs and the Halls. So I didn't know if they were like a breath mint or whatever, because I didn't pay attention because I was bewildered by the horn people.
Well, I don't think the commercial actually made any indication about what the product actually was. It was just people in lederhosen blowing a horn on a mountain, skiing Ricola.
That was it.
I don't think they actually said what the product was.
It was a 10-year setup for brand recognition.
Yeah, but now everyone knows what a Ricola is.
That's it. I wonder if, like, if you asked a kid to do an impression of the Ricola song, if they know what it is. Because I think they really just tag each ad with it. I don't think they sing it anymore.
They probably they just do Ricola. They don't do Ricola. They don't do that shit anymore.
No, they do that, but and also I don't think kids watch commercials anymore.
Oh, probably not. I mean, I don't watch commercials anymore. You got to figure there's a technological divide between my age and a kid. And yeah, if I'm not doing something, there's a good chance they're no longer doing it too. So they're probably not seeing shit.
Now I went over when I first started dating Amanda. I went over. God damn it. Whooping cough. So when I first started dating Amanda, I went. I noticed that when they watch TV in her house, they'll watch the show, commercial comes on, they mute it, and then it's just total silence.
Nothing going on?
No. They don't even have like the closed caption. So like if you see a commercial, like, oh, this is the commercial where, and then they're like, what? I don't know. And they call the commercials ads. God damn it.
Advertisements.
Yeah, they call them ads. And that was really, really different and new to me. I don't know why I mentioned that, but whatever.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, I would get really, like, maybe not a kid, but probably like high school aged. And I'd be eating dinner with my parents, and there was always a TV on during dinner. And my dad, I remember just seeing him, and he would just be... He would never stop looking at the TV, regardless of what was on. Like he would, like a commercial would come on, and his eyes would remain just as focused and locked onto that TV as it had been during the actual TV show. Like there was no recognition that they had gotten a commercial break. He'd just be staring at it. I remember thinking that was just bizarre behavior.
Well, I mean, I watched TV a lot as a kid. I don't really watch much now, but when I was a kid, like, the commercials wouldn't be a break in the programming. It would seem like little vignettes in the middle of the show. Like all of a sudden they're just singing, you know, they're singing and dancing about how much they love the fucking blacktop Reebok pumps. or fucking fruit roll-ups or whatever. I don't know. I enjoyed watching all of it. And I wasn't necessarily swayed by the commercial to buy the products, but I was swayed about the to have a different opinion because of them.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've actually been watching more commercials lately, or at least over the past couple of days, because I started watching Mad Men. You know, the show is getting a lot of a lot of publicity, and the whole show is about the advertising companies, right?
Yep.
So what they do, they trick you on these commercials during that show. They like have customized commercials during Mad Men. So there's a couple things they do. They'll put up like a fact on the commercial.
Really?
And it'll be like something interesting. It'll be like, in 1960, blah, blah, blah. And it'll tell you something about the 60s and some product in the 60s. And it'll be interesting. So I'll catch myself rewinding back to see what that said.
Huh.
And then what they also do is they do like commercial within commercials.
Really?
So they did like a commercial. I forget what it was for. Oh, it was for Vaseline, of all things.
Wait, for what?
For Vaseline.
Hold on. Can you say it one more time?
Vaseline.
You say Vaseline?
What, you say Vaseline?
Yeah, it's Vaseline. Vaseline. Like,
I think either pronunciation is appropriate.
I go with the STP fucking pronunciation.
It's the flies in the Vaseline.
It's never flies in the Vaseline. See, I don't know. I guess that's how my grandparents would have said it. And then they switched over to like Alberto VO5 for their fucking Vaseline needs. Anything that would have been required Vaseline or Vaseline. Vaseline. They would have used Alberto VO5. Dude, I really sound like fucking dog shit.
Yeah, you do not sound good. You should probably drink a spoonful of Vaseline.
It might get in the cracks. That's the thing.
Just fill it right in. Be all nice.
You think I should use Alberto VO5?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Isn't Alberto VO5 like shampoo?
No, it's like hair pomade. It's like a tube of hair grease that you would use to slick back like a gentlemanly old person's hair. Like fucking like my grandpa, basically. You don't know.
Oh, yeah, they always do that. Yeah, I don't know him, but
yeah, they're like you know, they're tired of combing, so they just fucking take this shit, squirt it in their hair, and slick it back like when you just jump in the water.
So it's like Brill cream.
It's something like that, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I have no clue what the fuck it is. I just know that they used it for their hair. At least my grandpa did.
But anyway, to get back on the point, they would do this commercial within a commercial. So it would like be advertising executives talking about how to pitch Vaseline.
Yeah.
So like you'd almost get tricked into thinking like the TV show is actually back on. Because you know, you're fast forwarding with your DVR. You see something that looks like the set of the show you're watching.
Oh, you fucking
tricked. You're like,
oh shit.
So you rewind, and you're like, I just got tricked into watching a commercial.
Tricky motherfuckers.
So those two things, a combination of the fact that I'm actually interested in seeing, combined with the fake, you know, commercials that seem like they're the show you're watching.
Yeah.
Tricked me into watching a lot of commercials.
They have to do it because everybody's watching DVR. There's very few instances where people watch live TV. I mean, maybe sports, certain shows that you're addicted to. For you, True Blood.
But even if you are addicted to the show, like putting it on it, well, True Blood's not bad because there's no commercial. So
yeah.
Watching it live is the same as watching it
true.
On DVR.
True.
But shows with commercials, most people I think now are waiting like 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Just put it on pause and then rip right through it.
Exactly. You're not even bothering anymore. So I don't think anyone's watching commercials unless they trick you.
Hmm.
And I admit I got tricked a couple times by these commercials.
Did you feel
and,
cheated?
You know, no, because they were actually reasonably good commercials. You know, a lot of times, you know, you think about it, like there's a lot of commercials you've seen in your life and you're saying, wow, that's a good commercial. It doesn't make you any more interested in the product.
No.
But you enjoy watching the commercial. It's actually entertaining to you to watch a commercial.
Yeah. Like maybe the first couple times I saw the caveman commercial.
Yeah. Yeah, before there were 700 iterations of it.
Oh God, even the caveman looks tired of it. Like they use him as a part of their new scheme now with that fucking annoying like 1930s guy. Did you think a caveman would do this? Just fucking give it up, Geico. We know you do different ads. We get it. Just nobody even cares. Nope.
It's fucking terrible.
I haven't seen a good commercial come out of Geico in like 10 years. I'm going to say 10 years. 25 years.
The caveman thing hasn't been 10 years.
Okay, maybe 5 years.
Okay, I'll give you five.
But still, yeah, it's done. It's fucking done. The oddball commercial is fucking over with.
Well, it's kind of a very disinteresting product to sell.
Yeah, insurance.
Insurance has got to be you would know, but it's got to be the worst thing to try to advertise in the entire world.
Affleck is like, I don't know, how do we do it? A duck?
We'll just have a duck with Gilbert Gottfried's voice.
And now they don't even pay him anymore. They just use old shit that he did, just like the Ricola guys.
Really?
They got what they need.
Gilbert got screwed the same way as the Ricola guys.
They got Affleck! And then that's it. That's all they need.
Like, the first Affleck commercials were great. Remember the one with Yogi Berra?
Yes.
And the Affleck doc? That commercial was fantastic.
Yeah, and then Geico basically stole the whole fucking shit.
Stole the whole thing.
They had that big voice guy, Don LaFontaine, before he died, Little Richard and shit, and they started getting the celebrity thing, and then Affleck's like, fuck, we just need the duck. Just use the duck. They can't steal the duck.
Non-stop duck. Yeah, because Geico showed up. Well, Geico did. They got the gecko.
Oh, that's true. Wow, Geico's a bunch of fucking assholes.
Yeah, they stole the animal.
Oh, that gecko. I fucking hate the gecko. I really do.
I kind of like the gecko.
Why do you like the gecko? You know what? You are a mark for product mascots, and I'll tell you why.
No,
I know this.
That's not it, actually. It's the fact that he talks with like a British accent
The fuck. Yeah, they sold that to you. And you know what else? I remember a time where you stood there firm, heels dug in, and said that you liked the Burger King.
I love the Burger King.
See?
King.
You're a mark. How can you love the fucking King?
It doesn't actually make me buy that product, though. So it's not really being a mark because it's failing at its job. I'm just entertained by the Burger King King. Like, the first Burger King King commercial was like the one where the guy was sleeping.
Yeah, it was creepy.
And then all of a sudden he wakes up and the Burger King King is like staring through his window at him. That is the creepiest fucking thing ever. And then like the next iteration of it, it was like some sort of like dream sequence with Hootie and the Blowfish and some chick riding on a giant swing and the king was there. I mean, none of it made sense, which is why I thought it was fantastic. I didn't buy a single hamburger as a result of it. But I thought it was great because I really was thoroughly enjoyed by the king's creepiness.
Do you think Geico makes money off of just the gecko? Do they sell gecko merchandise? They probably have to.
They probably do. Yeah, I'm sure. I guarantee they sold caveman merchandise and gecko merchandise.
Because I know they had Burger King video games that you could buy.
Really? Okay, that's bizarre.
Okay. And it was like Sneak King. It was called Sneak King. And you would basically go around and scare sleeping people. And give them hamburgers.
See, the Burger King King is kind of like the adult version of Hamburglar.
Maybe. Or it's just the fucking Noid all over again. Did you like the Noid too? I bet you did. And the Kool-Aid Man. You loved all of them.
I like the Kool-Aid Man.
See? I'm telling you, are a mark for...
No, but see, I think that's false.
You're a mark for the sub-brand.
A mark indicates that I would actually buy the product as a result of it.
Okay, here's the test. You go to the store. You want to buy a graphic tee. All of a sudden, there's a Burger King King T-shirt that doesn't have the Burger King logo on it. It's just him, and he's doing something bizarre. Would you purchase this T-shirt?
I don't buy graphic tees.
Okay.
I like T-shirts with words on them.
What if it said
witty slogans?
The slogan is, "I'm the Burger King, and I'm raping you. Eat the chicken fries."
How would I buy that?
See, you're a mark.
I don't think that makes me a mark. That's fucking great irony. I think I'm going to print up those T-shirts now.
I'm going to rape you. Eat the chicken fries. It didn't say or else. Yeah. It's like
just rape combined with chicken fries.
It's going to happen. And you know what? Afterwards, you might want to try some delicious fucking processed chicken.
Actually, I did have a graphic tee. It got ripped, but it was a picture of a chipmunk holding a baseball bat, and it said, "Protect your nuts."
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I had that one. But most of the T-shirts I buy, I try to buy like clever word T-shirts.
Ah, I see.
Like I have one that says, "I'm lost, take me home with you."
Ugh.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
Has it worked?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Yes, I've been taken home by all sorts of people.
You'd be surprised. You would be surprised how many times I go out. Wearing that T-shirt, not even I slept in it. I needed to go get something at Home Depot, and wouldn't you know, I end up at someone else's house. Thanks to the shirt. Okay, so maybe you're not a mark, but you do have a certain spot in your heart for these fucking mascots.
Yeah, I like things. Well, like I think I like things that are creepy for starters, and yeah. I like things that talk British.
Just the British aspect of it.
Yeah, or Australian, because I have trouble distinguishing the two.
Yeah.
So I like both British and Australian accents, and I like creepy things, and I like nostalgic things.
Sure.
Like from things like that are older than me, like from before my time.
Give me an example.
Like I don't even know if that counts. Does it count as nostalgia if it's older than you?
I guess you could call it that because it would be nostalgic for someone.
It's nostalgic for someone, yeah. Well, but, I mean, you brought up your example of the Kool-Aid guy.
Yeah, okay, so you like that. But that wasn't before your time.
In the get-go? No, I think the Kool-Aid guy, well, he certainly existed prior to me.
Like the live-action Kool-Aid guy where he, like, stopped being a menace and would just prepare drinks for kids at playgrounds.
See, I don't like that. I liked it when he would actually blast through the wall.
Ooh, yeah.
And, like, ruin people's houses.
Just rub his fucking
glass belly. What kind of sales pitch is that? Drink this and some giant pitcher is going to come through your wall.
That's because
and wreck your house.
Kids hate their parents that much that they would love this 30-year-old commitment, this fucking payment that they might die before they finish paying off to be destroyed, much to the dismay of this fucking jailer that they call mom and dad. Just right through the kitchen.
As long as it results in them getting sugary drinks.
And you never know when the Kool-Aid guy did burst through a wall. It was never like an outside scene. It was always like just bright heavenly light and smoke.
It's drywall smoking around your entire house.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. So the older mascots. You ever feel for a guy standing on the side of the road? Yeah, you see like a somebody dressed up as like a fucking Grimace or some restaurant's mascot. You ever feel for them? They have to wave.
Oh, I think that's like the worst job in the entire world, being a mascot.
You really do?
Like being a restaurant. When you have to do that, like the same exact thing would work. Like you ever see like when it comes around, like especially Easter time, you see this a lot.
Yeah.
Like they make the asshole get in a bunny suit and stand out there and wave at people.
Yes.
I try not to make eye contact so hard. I just drive right on by without looking.
When we were on vacation in North Carolina, we went to two pirate-themed restaurants.
Oh, God, that's just fucking miserable.
And the big thing is that the restaurants had a fucking pirate walking around and taking pictures with kids and shit.
Well, that's like the freecreditreport.com commercial almost.
Yeah, exactly. Well, see, there's another set of mascots. And they got rid of those fucking guys. They have a new band. I don't even know if it's doing well for them. But anyway, they had the pirates that would go around and like, oh, where are you from? I'm from New Jersey. New Jersey!
They talk like they're Irish?
I've been there! Yeah, he spoke like an Irishman.
They're doing the accents completely wrong.
Ooh! Well, he can't just be a fucking drunk amputee. I guess he's got to be a friendly pirate.
I think that would sell it pretty well. Comes and stabs you with a sword.
I mean, you think about the mythology of a pirate. It's a guy with no leg. Like, he's missing a fucking leg. And they don't exactly have...
And as a pirate, I think they should have the Somalians show up. Just a bunch
a pirate,
of guys.
A bunch Somali pirate-themed restaurant. You eat your meal, which is a cracker, in a raft. And the fucking store... And the restaurant manager shoots at you. He steals your shoes.
With an AK-47 and shoots at you.
What you be wanting? I don't know. I don't even... How do you do a Somali accent?
Dude, Jamaican, it's exactly the same.
That's like, what it is. Like, they did Irish for pirates.
If you're black and live outside of the United States, you talk like a Jamaican.
Yeah.
That's what you just sold.
Hey, that's how it goes. That's how it has to be. Hey, what you be wanting to eat? Fuck, that's how it goes. Somali pirate restaurant. You know what? That might be a big hit because that's really hot right now.
The Somali pirate thing is in, man.
It's cooling off, but you might be able to get in on the next wave of pirate takeovers.
Well, it's like, there's probably a place like this everywhere in the United States, but we have near us Wild West City.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You've been to Wild West City when you were a kid?
It's these like high school kids dressed up as fucking cowboys and shit.
Yeah, basically, and they're having like fake cowboy fights with like what are the caps? Cap guns. So they're going around having those things. So you do the same thing, but you do it with Somali pirates.
That'd be awesome. By the way, there's a picture of my oldest sister with like one of the cowboy guys pointing a fucking gun in her face, and she's screaming. Like, yeah, it's caps, but they are brandishing a weapon in a fucking infant's face.
I remember.
That's how little they give a shit about anybody.
I remember, you know, getting into like a hysterical state at Wild West City when they were doing like a gunfight. I can clearly remember this going completely fucking bananas. And then they had to explain to me like for like an hour and a half to calm me down that the cowboy now trying to console me was the good guy.
Yeah, he was going to kill the other guy, but he's consoling you now. He has you in a cradle.
He's a good cowboy. Like there was good cowboys and bad cowboys.
Yeah, the other one wearing the all black leather and the whore makeup on his fucking on his lips and cheek. He's the bad cowboy, the one rocking you to sleep and singing you a lullaby, who literally had a weapon inches from you. Like, it's one thing to go there. Wild West City is like, it's a fake Old West themed little shithole, and you would go there, and it's like you're kind of just observing this. Like, they don't always involve you, and surely in the gunfight you're not involved, but it's cool because, you know, you're a little kid and you're like, wow, these cowboys are going to fight and there's guns and there's all that. But, you know, they are just high school kids, and high school kids never like their job. They never respect the role they're given as an employee. So they will occasionally just fucking point the gun at you and like and call you varmint and just fucking fire, blast caps in your eyes.
And then you start freaking out because you're five.
Yeah. And then the cowboys with hearts of gold, the fucking key club member honor student, high school students who like their job will rush to your aid and reassure you that it's all fake. This is all fake.
Oh, he's the good cowboy.
Good cowboy. Oh, they actually didn't try to tell you it was fake. They just wanted to let you know that the cowboy was good.
Yeah.
And he was doing the right thing by trying to shoot this other man. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, the lessons.
I don't really remember. I just remember those two parts of the story. Me getting completely hysterical and freaking the fuck out. And then like there was a cowboy trying to console me and they were telling me he was the good one. That's all I remember from the story.
The mascots are really, they're made for the kids, but they're never good for kids. Like, it can't possibly be good to have this fucking failed actor just doing a shitty impression of Johnny Depp to my nephew, like inches away from his face. They get really close to his fucking face and start doing pirate talk and giving him little shitty plastic toys. This can't be good for a kid to but be like, faced what percent with of the this time scumbag. Do
you think the kids actually like, yeah, because you know there's something completely wrong with this guy.
Yeah,
like this is what his career path has taken him to.
Yeah, he mentioned that he had his own kids and he can't wait to see them again. The last time he saw them, he's like, I forgot. They were talking like, oh, how old?
Once I pay back my back child support, I'll be allowed to see them again.
Oh, how old are they? Like, you know, parents get into talking. My sister's like, oh, how old? He's like, oh 12 and 17. Oh, do they live right now? I don't remember. I'll see them soon. I'm going to see them soon.
Yeah, that's what they always tell themselves. Yeah. And then that paycheck comes in and the needle's in the arm. And those kids will never be seen.
Just passes out with the pirate makeup on, a belt around his fucking fake tattoo. Oh, Jesus. Everybody who has to take that mascot job, they don't hate their life. They don't hate their little world. They hate the entire universe. They hate everybody that they're faced with. They hate the people who make them wear this shit. They hate their kids, their wife. They hate everybody.
Well, let's be honest. That's like the last step. Like, you tried to get every other job there is up to that point. You're like Mexican landscapers. They're making $3 an hour. I'll do that. I'll make $3 an hour. No, sorry, you don't do as good a job as our Mexicans.
And pirate guy is so far down the ladder, he couldn't even be Chuck E. Cheese. Like, there has to be a certain.
This just dawned on me another mascot story of when I was a kid.
Oh shit.
And it was Chuck E. Cheese.
You had an issue with Chuck E. Cheese.
I had an issue with Chuck E. Cheese. Now, here's what happened. So, like Chuck E. Cheese was walking around and he was like shaking people's hands. And I thought I was being a real jokester. And so I started like doing like a real like long handshake, like real like, you know, real lengthy, like up and down, like real far distance.
Yeah, yeah.
And Chuck E. Cheese almost ripped my arm socket out.
That'll teach you.
He like hurt me bad. I remember like being injured, and then yeah, then the tears came.
I bet you never tried it again.
No, I never did that ever See again. That? I'll never do that. Now what I do to people on the handshake is I try to break their hand.
Yeah, well, he had a glove on.
I forcibly injure. Maybe that's why I do that. Maybe that's why I shake hands like that.
Because
I,
like, of Chuck E. Cheese.
I literally like injure people. I once made this effeminate man that was I was at a conference for my job, and I had just given a presentation, and this effeminate man came up to me to tell me how wonderful he thought my presentation was.
Oh,
and he stuck out his hand to shake my hand. I made that faggot dump hot chocolate all over himself. I shook his hand so viciously that he his whole body contorted, and he dumped hot chocolate all down the front of himself.
What's wrong with you? Like, it's not.
I didn't do it on purpose. It was just like,
it's not like he's being shitty with you or he forced you into like a bad contract. He's congratulating you on things you said to him. He's yeah, showing appreciation.
I didn't know I was going to like injure him. I didn't know he was so weak.
And you burned him. With his,
well,
with his
himself,
sugary beverage.
Technically, he burned himself. He had it in his other hand. He just couldn't handle it.
So you shook him that much that his other hand fucking flailed.
Yes.
And spilled his hot chocolate, his Swiss Miss.
His Swiss Miss was all over the front of himself.
Oh,
I felt so bad after that.
That's the worst.
Horrible.
All because of a little mascot. Some little fucking derelict in a mouse costume.
It's just figuring out. Maybe that's why it happens, you know? Just piecing together the details of my life and why I am the way I am.
You know, my mom actually told me once that she thought it would be fun. This would be fun. You know, I just think it would be good to be one of the characters at Disney.
Oh,
she actually said, I think I'd like to just live in Florida and be a Disney character. I think it looks fun.
Oh, God. In Florida, that's got to be the worst place ever to be dressed. It's 9,000 degrees every day in Florida, regardless of what time of year it is.
Yeah, it's
and
a hideous
being in
thing.
That suit, those suits. I mean, what do you think? That's like 3 inches thick.
Yes,
of padded material.
Have you ever been to Disney? Did you ever meet one of these characters?
Oh yeah.
They don't do much. Okay, they basically get led there by somebody who's not in a fucking suit. And they stand there for a little window. Like, oh, Goofy's here for fucking 10 minutes. That's all he's here for.
Yeah, because he's got to get back in before he dies of heat stroke. He's got to get back indoors and out of the suit.
Yeah, you know it's terrible because they're limiting the time that he can do this job. They would make him do it all day long if they legally could.
And then you wonder why. Like, I mean, you got to figure, I'm saying 60 to 80% of the people doing that job are kid touchers.
Oh, yeah.
They have to be. Why else would you put up with that? Like, there has to be a plus side to it. I'm sure it's not, like, a high-paying job, so you're not doing it for the glamorous wages. You're not doing it because you're becoming famous and you're working your way up the chain.
I mean, like, every girl that might go to the job wants to be, like, a fucking Ariel. They want to be, like, the Disney princess. No costume, like, no furry mask required. But, you know, sometimes you're just not that pretty.
Yeah,
or skilled or valuable. So they make you be the fucking Brer Bear. You stand out by the fucking log flume for 10 minutes. And then you pass the suit on to somebody else. They rotate people.
God. Really? They do that?
Yes.
Or are you just making that up?
No, they rotate people.
So you know
people.
This for a fact, that you have to wear the same suit?
I don't know if it's the same suit, but I know that Brer Bear will go away. The costume... Someone else will come out as fucking Brer Bear or whatever other fucking name. Why would I pick Brer Bear when I can't fucking speak?
Brer Bear. Brer Bear.
Fucking
was there
Brer
actually
Bear.
A Brer Bear or was it just a Brer Rabbit?
I think there was a Brer Bear.
Was there a Brer Bear? I remember Brer Rabbit. Brer Fuck Rabbit it. Was an asshole, I think, wasn't
They're
he?
They're all assholes.
Well, I guess the whole point of that whatever, Song of the South, was that it was like completely racist, right?
Yes.
That was like the whole thing.
Well, they can't exactly bring any of the other characters out. So they get the bear or maybe the rabbit. They're not going to get the crows singing fucking lead belly songs. Jesus. Or the black people. What were they? They were crows. It doesn't matter.
The black people are all crows, yes. that's the way Disney wanted to show black people in 1930 or whatever.
Terrible. Just sitting on a telephone
1946.
Wire. 1946. Yeah. Well, that was the time. You know. Not good. They don't show it anymore. Thanks
yeah, they're
to,
not allowed to anymore.
Do you blame them? Do you fucking blame them? But anyway.
No, I would turn it off too. But anyway.
Anyway, they bring this person out. And okay, you're Disney. You're huge, right? You want to cut corners. You could make somebody wear a sweaty suit.
Oh, God.
You could, because I know.
Now you know 100% of the people doing that job are definitely kid touchers. Because who else is going to like desire so much to do this work that you're willing to get someone else's sweaty suit?
Someone with whooping cough goes
someone
in.
Someone with whooping cough was in there previously.
Just puts all sputum all over the little mesh hole near the mouth on the Mickey costume. I bet you it's prestigious among the mascot people to be Mickey.
Oh, yeah, you probably got to work your way up to Mickey. Like you start out as Brer Bear.
yeah, you're the outside character. Mickey, I always see Mickey inside when I went. I went once as a kid and once when my niece was little. The whole family went. And he was always inside. You had to go in line to get pictures with Mickey. It's like a 3-hour fucking line. And then you're inside this air-conditioned. Mickey's, like, fucking having a drink. He's all animated, moving his, waving. He's tilting his head and shit like that. You go outside with the fucking, the wildebeest from fucking Lion King. He's just standing there, his arms right at his fucking side. You can tell through the mask that he has a frown. Somehow you just know that this person is fucking frowning. And they don't want to hug any more people.
I was at Disney World when it was Donald Duck's, I think, 40th birthday.
Oh, Jesus.
Donald Duck's every year, if you go down there, it's someone's birthday. It's some character's ex-birthday that they're doing. They do it for the entire year, regardless. It's not like that day. They trick you into thinking
the anniversary
day is her birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's the entire fucking year. So the entire year is the celebration of this shitty character. Like, Donald Duck kind of sucked. I always liked Goofy. I thought Mickey sucked, too.
They all suck. They're honestly, Goofy might be the best one.
What is Goofy? Is he a dog?
I don't fucking know. Let's not get into that.
But I like Goofy. He's the only one that's good.
I hate them all. Fuck them all. I've never seen anything I liked with the traditional Disney characters. What have they ever done? What has Mickey ever fucking done?
He's Goofy, man.
What has Mickey ever done? What, Fantasia? That's all I've ever heard him do.
Yeah, Mickey really hasn't done shit.
Steamboat Mickey, thank you. Great. If I had just discovered what cars are, I'd be fucking entertained.
All Mickey did was a ton of racist shit.
That one little fucking move where they stand with their feet planted and they just bob their knees up and down to like some fucking blues song played on a piano. I hate it. I just hate it. But now
I don't think he's done shit. I'll try to go through the Wikipedia article. His most recent theatrical cartoon was 1995's short Runaway Brain.
Oh, I'm sure that ripped it up. But no, universally loved. Feed him to you. Give him to your kids. A generation of people who don't even know what the fuck Mickey Mouse did will still tell their kids to like Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, because the people in our generation that have no fucking clue, not a single person in our generation has any clue why we should like this fucking thing.
Yeah.
And yet we would tell our kids, oh, yeah, you got to like, you got to go be nice to Mickey Mouse.
Mickey, go pose with Mickey Mouse. Go pose with him.
Meanwhile, Mickey's got a fucking boner because he's with a little kid.
Yeah, poking out one of the buttons on his fucking suspenders. I'll tell you this. If you can fake a handicap, you'll have an easier time at Disney. Handicap people go right to the front.
Every time.
Right to the front.
And not only that, not only do the handicapped people go right to the front of the line every time, the people with the handicapped person.
Yep, the entire party.
So you just need one handicapped friend.
Yeah.
And that's like a free speed pass.
You know what's been happening, though? I heard that they're kind of tightening that a little bit because every fat fuck would get a jazzy. And then because they're fat, they can't move around. But they're not necessarily handicapped. But then when it came time
should have to have like a handicap sticker you do on your car.
When it came time to get to the small world and they didn't want to wait 3 hours, they would fucking pretend to be handicapped and their whole party would go to the front and sit on the most boring ride. Honestly, how was that a fucking attraction? That whole place, That I'm not just talking about a small world. How is Disney World, Disneyland, any of it a fucking attraction? It's just not entertaining, fun, or any of it.
I think the Disney World, the Magic Kingdom portion of it is just miserably bad. There's just nothing there.
They have a safari in the other part. That's kind of cool.
Well, Epcot, I actually like Epcot, so I'll stand up for Epcot, because Epcot, like, okay, so if you're a science nerd, Epcot's a pretty good place to be.
Okay.
But the Magic Kingdom portion of it, everything there sucks. And so it's been a long time since I was there, and certainly longer ago than, we're talking probably, 18 or so years since I was in the Magic Kingdom portion.
Yeah.
But I remember, being there, and things were just, outdated. Things were just like the same stuff they had originally built. Like they had the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea submarine, and all it was, it was just an elevator.
It's a fucking elevator.
It was an elevator that would go underwater, and then they would bring by an octopus image. And they had Tom Sawyer Island, Jesus. Which they had. I can remember this. They had a thing in Tom Sawyer Island called the Bottomless Pit. And so, you're in this, cave, and there's this thing, the bottomless pit. And, people would, spit down it to prove that it wasn't. everyone would sit there spitting down the hole.
It's just a rainbow of gum.
And you would hear, bloop at the bottom, because there was probably, 4 to 5 inches of spit had built up at the bottom of this hole.
The bottomless pit, kids. Take a look at it. 4 to 5 feet of spit. Jesus Christ.
That's actually worse than falling to a bottom. I would rather fall into a bottomless pit than fall into 4 to 5 feet of spit.
Of fat tourist spit. Of skeptic tourist spit. Because there's spite and fucking graham crackers in it. Just terrible.
I remember even the last time I was there, I went on Space Mountain.
It's bad. It's hideous.
It's bad. It is the worst roller coaster
ever. Here's how you can tell it's the most dated shit ever. Even in Epcot, it's fucking dated, because they have those little exhibits where people are working on factories to build new technology. And people would say, oh, well, the technology looks so old. You look at the haircuts on these molded plastic people. It is the most outdated shit ever. I think one of them had fucking mutton chop fucking sideburns. It's just so fucking terrible.
See, that's the one thing they should do. They should just be able to have replaceable haircuts on their molded figurines.
Really?
That's how they bring it. They bring it up into the next century.
Get somebody with a Swiss Miss in their hand to restyle their hair every fucking 20 years. I don't know. So what do you think the worst costume job would be? Do you think is it the Disney character? Do you think?
Are we talking just like? If you had to do it for a day or as your career,
you fall on bad times. Let's say maybe your company dissolves. You have nobody wants you. You're only able to make money by becoming a mascot. I don't know how the fuck this comes to pass, but obviously
there's no jobs left in the entire world.
Obviously, it comes to pass for somebody. Job. Nobody has a passion for this shit. No one's like, you know what? I really want to be a fucking mascot.
Somehow our economy goes so into the toilet that there's no jobs in the entire economy but mascot jobs.
So the Disney people, as we said, people think that their costumes are air conditioned and it's a fucking treat. Well, that's not true. They got to be sweat bags because there's no plugs. It's not like
there's nothing.
It's not like the Dead Mouse, a glowing costume where there's fucking electricity going to it and blowers and exhaust fans and shit. It's just a fucking sweat bag. They rotate the people in and out. Sure. What's next? There's the sports mascot. You would think that that's pretty fucking illustrious. Right?
See, I think the sports mascot's better than the Disney mascot, especially the college sports mascot, because everyone, college students will cheer for anything.
That's true.
They're so fucking retarded that they love everything.
Yeah.
I mean, they love Dick Vitale, who's awful. College kids love him. He could never make it in any other industry. They would hate him, but college kids love him. So I think being a college sports mascot's pretty good. Yeah. I think being a pro sports mascot's probably a little lame, but now they got those things where they do the dunking contests.
Yeah, you gotta perform.
They have the trampoline, you gotta perform now. They go do some crazy shit, they're getting injured because they're 40 feet in the air trying to dunk.
Well, I mean, you go to a game, you usually see the mascot for what? like the breaks, the half times, all that.
Usually what they'll do is they'll have the mascot like running around the stadium.
That's
and,
it. You got to be friendly
people.
And perform and dance and do it the whole time.
But on the plus side, and this is like, you know, the same kind of thing that the male cheerleaders would always say,
ugh,
is they get to hang out with the hot chicks the
yeah.
entire time.
Yeah, I'm sure you can really kick game with a fucking cardinal mask on.
You probably can't, but you gotta figure, though, it's an in, right?
You can't sniff. You can hold them
yeah,
up.
But you know these people, right?
Okay.
So you know,
so
you know
you're
these
in.
People. Yeah. So you have some sort of in for the post festivity. So there's that benefit. Because I know, so I go to a lot of Devils games, and
yeah.
they have the Devils dancers now,
ugh,
which,
yeah.
I mean, it's terrible. It doesn't belong at hockey, but it is nice every now and then to see a bunch of hot chicks.
They did have a redhead one I saw. It was okay.
But
I don't know what that is.
The mascot hangs out with them.
Yeah, yeah.
So like he kind of gets that in. So there's something to be said for that. If you're the mascot, you get to hang out with cheerleaders.
Here's the deal, though.
Something to be said for that.
Here's the deal. I'm thinking the mascot isn't even a he in that case. I think the devil, you're calling him a he because it's the devil. You think male devil. That guy's doing the same fucking moves as them. It's one of the fucking broads that maybe has a fucking beat up face. Maybe she got attacked in the parking lot or something, and they had to put her in the devil costume. I don't think it's a dude.
Well, it's possible. You don't know. You don't know what's inside the devil costume.
Exactly. There's no fucking facial recognition. You can't build a brand. You can't.
Actually, I know who the worst guy is. He's not really a mascot.
Yeah.
But at the Devil's games, they have this guy that I'll just refer to him as the T-shirt guy.
Oh, yeah.
So he comes out, and he's wearing, like, 25 T-shirts.
Yeah, he has to take
and
one
he,
off.
And he runs down and he does it. And he's kind of a fat guy, and he does this like fat guy dance.
Yeah,
and he'll rip off the T-shirt and he'll whip it into the crowd. And he's got he's got pit sweat going on. He's got under boob sweat. Like you can see the under boobs. He's got so many T-shirts on and he's dancing. But I also heard a rumor. Someone told me like what that guy makes per hour.
How
and
much?
It was like it was something. God bless me.
No, I said how much.
Oh, I thought you said God bless.
I didn't.
I forget what the number was, but I remember being fascinated that this man was being paid that. Because I like extrapolated it to like an hourly wage over the course of a year, and it was like $500,000.
Holy shit.
I mean, granted, he's only doing it a couple hours
yeah,
a night.
Yeah.
And, you know, 80, you know, well, for hockey, 41 times a year. But I figured out like when you worked it out hourly, it was like some astronomical sum of money.
So you think he's at the top then? Like just being degraded as a fat man who's sweaty and can't run?
Yeah, and like everyone's laughing because he's got sweat rings everywhere and he's dancing horribly, but he's making a good living, so I don't know. Like, I don't know where that falls. Like, you're degrading yourself, but you're making quite a bit of money to do so.
Maybe that's the top of it.
maybe that's the peak, because it's all degrading yourself.
Does he beat the roadside mascot, where your job is to wave and be beeped at for fucking hours, regardless of weather?
The roadside mascot is awful. Awful. It's just because, like... Like, what roadside mascot bit has ever drawn someone in? Like, you see outside the florist, you see the Easter Bunny waving.
Yeah.
Like, does that suddenly make you say, you know what? I do need flowers.
It reminds you that Easter's coming, and it makes you – maybe you're happy that you're prepared or you're angry that you're not.
It's a complete waste.
I love the – I like the roadside guys, like the guy with the sign.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what they do now, because apparently you just can't put signs up anywhere. If someone just stands there with a sign, that's permissible as long as like he's there with a sign.
Yeah. He has to be holding it, too. They can't sit.
I saw someone completely disinterested. I forget where I was. I might have been in New York seeing this, and there was someone completely disinterested with a sign, and the sign was leaning against him.
Oh, okay.
He had the sign leaning up against his leg. Advertising some bar.
Yeah, it's usually like maybe a bar, but I usually see the furniture stores doing this. Like, it's interesting when you have a certain type of mascot for your business. Like, Chick-fil-A has a cow, and Ashley Furniture and Ethan Allen have Mexicans with picket signs. Just on the side of – on the corner road, they never smile. They don't wave. They have no other obligation than to just be there.
They are effectively the same thing as a post. That is what – their job is to, for 6 hours, replicate a post.
Like, just stand there and be alive. As long as you're alive.
As long as you're alive, it's legal for us to do this. Huh. You can stand there going. Because usually you see those things when there's going out of business sales, too.
Yep.
You know, I know, I think it was when Circuit City was going out, or what was the. It was not Bed Bath & Beyond, but the other one that went out of business.
Yeah, I forget.
Yeah, but they had those places. They had those people, those Mexicans out there holding signs for an entire day.
That's got to be worse than being the cow from Chick-fil-A.
I think so, because you're a post.
Your neighbors see you. Your neighbors are driving by you.
Listen, you're a Mexican. It doesn't really matter.
I guess so. But like, I saw a white guy doing it.
Really? Oh, jeez.
Like a 20-something-year-old white guy.
You know times are tough.
And a lot of black dudes do it, too. There's no racial divide anymore. This is a viable job. This is an actual choice people are making.
I know this is flying off topic, but I think it's funny enough to be worth mentioning.
Let's hear it.
I had a friend of mine. As you mentioned, black dudes doing jobs that Mexicans usually do.
Yes.
And he liked his car a lot, so he would get his car washed all the time.
Okay.
And one time he drove by the car wash, and he saw that there were black people that were doing like the drying portion of it.
Really?
And he wouldn't go. And it's not because he was like didn't want a black man touching his car.
Wanted experience.
It was because he felt bad. Like, he had no problem with Mexicans washing his car. Like, a Mexican could wash and dry his car all he wanted. But he, like, felt like there was something bad about walking up and handing a black man a dollar to dry his car.
That's fucking terrible.
So he saw that, pulled in the parking lot, and just drove right back out.
You know what? Those guys play the we have a shitty job off very well. I bet you they make a decent amount of money. They probably make like a quarter of what a stripper makes.
Well, what do you think? So when someone drives your car, what would you pay them? What's your tip?
I give them a dollar, and I know I'm on the low end. I don't like to tip people, and I always give them a dollar.
I would say the average tip is probably $2 that they get.
Yeah,
and they dry a car pretty quick. I mean, you're talking about 2 minutes, right?
There's two of them there, and in 2 minutes they make $2.
So basically, that's like 4 minutes for a dollar.
Yeah.
So that's like $15 an hour. That's pretty good for you know completely unskilled labor. I mean, that's got to be the lowest end of unskilled labor.
And they don't and
rubbing a towel over a piece of metal.
And how many times do you go back to your house? You look at your car and you're like, these fucking assholes don't know how to dry a car. I got drips everywhere. Fuck the. I'm never going back. And you go back.
Go back. No matter
and you
what.
Always go. It doesn't matter. They don't have to do a good job.
No, it's irrelevant. And you're tipping them. You're not even tipping them based on the job. Like at least you know what? You're tipping them
out of pity.
Like, when you have a waitress and you tip her, like, I know it's not the same way as it used to be. Like, there's an expectation of tip now. But supposedly, it actually is for, you know, the job they're doing. You're tipping them based on their performance. But for that, it's just like – it's like one of those expected tips.
Yeah. My dad used to have a thing he would do where he would not reveal the dollar until the job was done. Because he felt like they would think it's automatic. They wouldn't have to work hard if the dollar was already out. So he would take it out before he got there and like put it under his leg. And then when he saw that they did enough and they asked him to roll the windows down a little bit. They did the edge there. Then he would hand it over.
See, I wonder if the opposite would do better though. If you like pulled out a 20.
Oh shit! Okay.
It made it obvious, and then they're working hard because they're probably worried that 20 might go away.
Okay,
and then you take the 20 away no matter what they do, and then you go back to the dollar. Oh, geez, I didn't realize this was a 20.
See, the thing is, I think
I can't tip you a 20. That's just crazy, right? That'd be crazy.
This is kind of like it may sound a little racist, but part of the tip is that you feel bad, and they're doing shit work for you. But another part of the tip is, hey, I'm going to come here again.
Yeah.
They'll remember me if I fuck them. That's part of it.
See, do you think with Mexicans it's that way? Because, you know, and continuing down our racist tangent here.
Jesus.
Like, so, like, white people, like you see an Asian person, unless you're, like, friends with them, it's hard to distinguish between other Asians. I assume it's that way for all races. So, like, other people see white people. We all look exactly the same to them, too. So do you think the Mexicans – that are cleaning
well, the
car.
Fact that we're calling them Mexicans, it also applies to them too. Yeah, they don't. You can't tell between races unless you know.
Right, but, so they wouldn't be able to tell like who it is. But they would. You know what? They would remember the car.
They would. They definitely would remember the car. But you know
they
what?
They would fuck over anyone in the same color model car that you have,
regardless of race. regardless of race, religion, creed, whatever, you're in this job where you're doing pretty manual labor. It's unskilled shit work, and someone fucks you. It's not a whole lot of effort to remember that one face.
It's true.
And you know what? All you have to do is fuck them over worse than the last guy, and you become the face. So you, if you fuck them over, you're actually doing someone else another favor. Because they forget them.
You just replace someone else.
You have to hope that if you fuck them over, someone else fucks them over even worse. Like, they let them touch the 20 and like, then drive away.
Yeah, just they have it on the fishing line trick. As they're driving away, the fishing line out the car window.
It's fake. It's like a photoshopped.
It's one of those that like snaps in your hand when you open it up.
Oh, Jesus.
It has the preloaded caps in it.
They roll it into the window, so it's just sticking out a little bit, and they try to grab it, and you just drive away. I don't know. That's terrible. They will remember you.
I think it'd be more demeaning if you actually burned the money in front of them.
Set it on fire and drop it, because the dollar goes up quick. Not that I've ever burned money, but every time I've ever seen someone light a cigar with money to indicate that they're rich in a TV show or movie, it goes up pretty fucking quick.
See, I think it'd be good, though. You get yourself some fake money and burn it in front of them. So like, it doesn't actually cost you anything. You just like pretend how rich you are. You just burn money in front of them and then drive away.
You know, you take the big bill out, the fake bill, on your horn. You write tip in a marker, and they get really excited. And then you burn it and drop it on the ground. Why are we planning like the worst way to hurt this person? Who's trying to make money for a family. Like most of those dudes have kids. You know, they're trying to earn enough so they can feed their fucking kids, and we're coming up with ways to torture them.
Hey, you know, not that we're condoning this stuff. It's
no,
just
fun, I don't want you to set fire to money in front of somebody who's begging for a dollar.
Who's basically desperate for a dollar.
He's trying to wash your car, basically shine the shoe of this age for a little bit of money. Your fucking car. And he'll never do it right. He knows this. He just wants a little fucking charity from you.
See, I think the difference, though, is like the shoe shine guy, I think he actually had to do a good job.
Yeah.
Because the kind of people who were paying for having their shoes shined, they wouldn't have paid unless it was good.
That's true.
But I also don't think the shoe shine guy was working on tips. I think he was like, here's what it costs.
That's right.
And I'm going to shine your shoes.
It was built into his price.
And I think that should be the way all things are. I hate the entire tip system.
Yeah.
Like, who has defined certain industries as tip-based systems? I mean, you and I both work in industries where it's not tip-based. It's not like you do a good job and someone's like, you know, here's a dollar.
Yeah.
It's not built in. It's built into our salaries or, you know, whatever other compensation we get at our job that we have expectations of performing at a certain level.
Yeah.
Why is it different for a waitress or a shoe shine guy or any of those other things? And I'm not saying that I believe they should be paid less. I think all those people should be paid exactly as they currently are, or maybe even more because they're getting paid shit. But it shouldn't be up to me as the consumer to dictate their performance, because that's really what's happening here.
I think a lot of it was that in the beginning, this was a way to kind of to help the customer get an adequate experience. Like, we're not paying them. They're working their hardest to get money. So if they do well, you tip them. And it was kind of maybe a decent scheme at first. Like, if we were tipped for our jobs, we would probably put a lot of effort in.
We'd probably work harder, yeah.
Until it got to the point where it's like, oh, I wrote this program and the fucker didn't tip me. But all I gave him was fucking comment lines. I commented an entire module. and the person that didn't tip for shitty service now is seen as some kind of a cheapo, an idiot. You know, they don't make a lot. You gotta... It started off innocently enough, but it's been corrupted.
Yeah, see, now it's become a system where you have to pay them because they don't make a lot. I mean, you actually did the analogy very good there.
Yeah.
Is they only make a couple dollars an hour, so if you don't tip them, they're making nothing. But the whole concept of the system was that this was supposed to encourage them to do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But where I'm going with this is they should just do a good job and be paid by their employer instead of having to get paid directly by me. Their employer should be paying them and monitoring whether or not they're doing a good job. That shouldn't be my job to cover. And what drives me most nuts about the tipping is it's made its way. It's slowly spread. It's spread into the counter help. I hate the counter help.
Oh, is that the worst?
The tip jar at the counter help drives me out of my fucking mind. I refuse to do it. I go there to pick up a pizza.
Yeah.
I have no choice in how to get this food from this establishment other than to either go to the counter, have someone deliver it to me. Now, if someone delivers it to me, I understand that I'm supposed to tip them.
Oh, they've done something. They've done something to get that to you that you didn't have to do. So yeah. You tip.
You know what? I'll climb around the fucking counter and pull it out of the goddamn oven myself if I have to tip. I mean, you're not doing anything. Like, I mean, at what point does it stop? Do you start tipping the cooks that make the food? I mean, it just starts spreading and spreading and spreading.
We went to the deli to get food, to pick up food. We had a guest in our office, and it was like a ton of food, a lot of food. And the guy goes, well, I'm going to tip 20%. Like, well, wait a minute. You're going to tip 20%? I mean, I didn't give a shit because it's the office's money, whatever. And I guess they told him to tip. But you think about it. What did they really fucking do? They put it in a bag for you and said, here's your food.
And right.
And you're carrying it out, and you're tipping for that?
Which you would have had no option of how to get otherwise.
Yeah.
Like, you're buying something from their establishment. This is it.
The only reason I'll tip at a counter is if I know that if I establish a relationship with this person by tipping a couple times, maybe I'll get free shit later.
Well, that's the whole bartender scam.
Yes.
So, like, you go to a bar, and not one of those chain bars, because they usually can't.
Yeah.
You'll get, and I hate that system, too. But... you go to the bar, you realize that you're tipping them well, they throw you a couple free drinks, things work out well. It works out well. Like, you know, you tip them 20%, maybe you get back 5% or 10% in free drinks.
Yeah.
And it works out okay for you. And you develop a rapport because, you know, it's not bad going to the bar and talking. It's one of the few chit-chat situations I actually don't mind.
Yeah,
is bullshitting with the bartender.
Because you're going to get a decent service and you might get free shit.
Right, but the system of paying the countertop help, I get so infuriated when I see that fucking jar, and I do not do it. And now I feel like I actually am the asshole that's going to get my food spit in because I didn't. But it should never be there to begin with.
Here's my suggestion, though: first time you go to a place, throw a tip in there just to see what happens. If you get like a look, maybe a nod from the person at the register. The next time you go there, they might just say, hey, you know what, dude, this is on me. And then what you do is you put the cost of your meal into that fucking jar. And now you have a thing with the guy.
You think that actually happens?
Yeah, for like a year at Chipotle until the guy fired. Yeah. And then the best is 2 months later, they hired him again because they were shorthanded. So
so you did figure out a way.
I mean, it wasn't free for me, but it was cheap. Because the first time I went there, I ordered like the minimum shit for whatever reason. Just, you know, that's what I felt like getting. I wasn't like unfurling some scheme. And the next time I went back, he goes, nah, dude, this is on me. It's on me. And he rung me up for the cheap shit. And I'm like, oh, well, thanks. And I just threw what I would have paid in the basket. And then from then on, you know, I gave a little less and less. And I'm eating basically fucking free there. It was a whole thing until the guy got fucking, you know, I'm not going to get fired from eating at Chipotle. So honestly, what do I have invested in there? Nothing.
Nothing. You have to make that initial move and then hope that same person's there regularly enough that it works out for you.
You could feel it out. It's feelable.
So really what you're doing is you're tipping people that look like they're dishonest.
Yes.
Tip the dishonest is your motto.
Because the dishonest are wise.
Tip thieves only.
Because if they can get a sense that if they give you free shit, you're going to give them money, they're going to give you free shit.
Well, it's true. I mean, you think about it. That's exactly what the whole bartender system is.
Yeah.
The whole bartender system. Like, because let's face it. Like, you're tipping a guy for handing you a bottle of beer. I mean, he does nothing. He pulls it out of a cooler, flips the top off of it, and puts it on the bar for you. That's
he's not doing any tricks.
That's actually only worth the $3 an hour he's paid. It's not worth anything more than that.
Yeah.
So let's face it, the whole point of you tipping him is actually to get yourself a free drink down the line.
I could reach it. It's right there. I see it. I could uncap it.
I could get it myself.
I actually have a fucking a Swiss Army knife and a keychain. I could get the shit open, but he does it for me. So okay.
Yeah, that's his entire. He spent.
It's not impressive. It's not like exceptional service. That I, wow, you know what? Here's an extra two. Thank you for that. That was awesome. No, he's doing something a fucking a fork could do.
And, and actually, you know, you think about it. What is exceptional service when you're being waited on, like at a restaurant? Like they're really like. What they're like? You think about it. There's really nothing. Like nowadays, they don't even bring out the food anymore.
No. They have one guy that doesn't speak your language. You just gotta tacos, hamburger.
I'm gonna tell you what the new definition of exceptional service is.
Let's hear it.
A cute girl who actually talks a little bit to you.
Oh yeah, that's it.
That's what exceptional service has become.
You know what? That's what it is now. What it's going to become? Exceptional service is where everybody gets the correct meal.
It's just that if you get that, that's all it takes.
And you know, hey, they earned the 20%. They earned it. They didn't bring us, you know, one plate less. We didn't wait too long for our food. You know,
the thing is, you know, the waiting too long thing's not even on the waitress.
No,
that's not even on. That's the kitchen who's not getting tipped.
This guy's performing some Japanese backflips and chopping the shit up in midair to get it to you 5 minutes quicker. And this bitch with a fucking secretary ass and fucking dyed orange hair is coming out there getting all the goddamn accolades. This superstar behind in the back line is not getting shit.
He's getting nothing. He's getting
Dick.
Nothing. But I think you just brought up the chopping everything up, and it reminds me of Japanese hibachi, which I do think is worth tipping for.
That's a show.
You're getting entertained.
Yes.
For the price of your meal.
I mean, they have their go-to moves. It's the same fucking
every move. Every move at Hibachi is a go-to move. Although they did add
volcano
one
out of onion.
But fairly recently, the one that got added, which is really funny the first time you see it, but then it becomes really old, is the man peeing.
Oh, I didn't
have
see
you
that.
Seen
one.
That? No. They like have like the sake in like a little like fireman like figurine that pees out the sake. They squirt, they squeeze it, and it squirts out the sake. And it pees, and they're like, oh, let the fireman pee, because he puts out the volcano now. That's how they put out the volcano.
Oh, okay, I see.
With the fireman peeing. It's probably not sake, it's probably water, because it's not burning, but they're putting out the fire from the volcano with the fireman peeing on it.
I want to just...
Which actually, when you think about it, is really gross. They're imitating someone urinating on your food. This
you
is their
it,
shtick.
Because it's Japanese, and they have an ancient culture, and this is refined.
They've had this for years, like thousands of years. They've had plastic figurines peeing on volcano food.
This morning, I was watching like botched WWF clips where they fuck up a backflip or a choke slam or something. They fuck it up. I want to see like hibachi botched fucking moves. Like I want to see somebody get hit in the face with a fucking shrimp. Somebody burn their hands. I want to see just a clip, a clip reel of fucking hibachi disasters.
Well, you know, it's funny because I did a lot of hibachi within the past couple of years. I love hibachi. I think it's great food. But they do this thing now, I guess for maybe like young adult crowds, where they'll go around squirting sake into people's mouths.
Oh, Jesus.
So they'll have the ketchup bottle like type thing, but it's for the sake.
Yeah.
So they're squirting it. They walk around the table squirting it into people's mouths. And one bottle had like a extra hole in it, and it squirted sake into this girl's eyes.
Nice.
Just like all over her face and eyes.
Dishonorable. It's so dishonorable.
So I have seen that. And then they do like the flipping of the food thing.
Yeah.
Where they flip the food at you. You're supposed to catch it in your mouth. And sometimes they do a really good job at it, and sometimes they end up whipping a shrimp tail right at someone's – bouncing right off someone's forehead.
I just want to see – I want to see a montage of nothing but that. I think it would be great. I really think it would. Now, that's probably another job that people would think like, oh, if I could do that all my life, that'd be great. But it's got to be fucking tiring and boring and fucking repetitive and terrible.
Same fucking thing over and over again. Plus, that's you're talking about. I mean, I'm sure all cook jobs are hot and sweaty.
Yeah,
but that's like that seems extreme as far as heat goes. And not only that, like at least you can be antisocial as a cook.
Yeah,
like, part of your job as the hibachi guy is to be social.
Yep,
and you have to make your you have to like even if you're like born and raised in America. Yep. You have to put on that fake Japanese accent to pretend like pretend to be more Japanese than you really are. I mean, think about it. There's probably more hibachi chefs than there are actual Japanese immigrants.
Yeah, I guess that's one of the things you can do if you have an Asian look.
Like, who the fuck is moving from Japan to the United States to become a hibachi chef?
And no real Japanese people eat there. So no one will call him out. Like, if a Filipino dude is the hibachi chef, like, white people aren't going to be able to know.
They have no fucking idea.
No. So the authentic Japanese person is actually from fucking Nicaragua. And no one has any idea.
They're actually Mexicans.
Well, now, when you go to an Italian restaurant, who serves you? It's all Spanish Greeks. People now. Yeah, or Greeks. Yeah. In New Jersey, it's Greeks. I don't know. Does the hibachi chef rank higher than a mascot?
Paid significantly higher.
But quality of the job.
They work in the same temperature region.
What about enjoyment? The ratio of enjoyment to compensation.
I think they're equally painful jobs, but I think the hibachi chef is getting paid better.
Okay, so that makes it better.
Yeah, I think almost all the qualities of being a mascot are inherent in hibachi chef. You have to engage with the public. You have to entertain the public. It's hot. It's smelly. I mean, all these things are the same.
Like, not necessarily. With like an Easter bunny, you really just sit on a throne and they cycle people. And you don't – like, okay.
Well, that's different. That's different than the roadside Easter bunny. You're talking about the one that has kids come sit on the lap.
Yeah, where it's either the mall Santa in the winter or the Easter bunny. But you know what?
Kids are assholes.
I got a question for you. Kids are assholes. Who hates their life more, a mall Easter bunny or a mall Santa?
Mall Santa.
Undoubtedly. You really think so?
Undoubtedly. Like. You know what you're getting from the Easter Bunny. There's no, like, asking the Easter Bunny for stuff. You're like, Easter Bunny's going to give me candy. You're not there. I want this and that. You're going up there. You're a bratty ass mother. So you're some poor down in your luck drunk who's got to dress up like Santa Claus. And now you got to have spoiled brats demanding things from you for hours and hours a day.
It's either the best job if you're a pedophile or the worst job if you're just a drunk.
Yes. If you're just a drunk. If you enjoy touching kids, greatest job in the world.
Perfect job for a drunk pedophile.
If you're not into touching kids, terrible job for you.
How tragic is the life of a drunk pedophile who can't grow the Santa beard?
You don't have to grow the Santa beard. That's not a real beard.
You know what? All the best Santas have the real beard.
Yeah, but like, what kind of classy joints are you going into with the real beard Santa?
I think that every Santa at a classy place has the real beard.
That's a tough beard to grow.
That's the thing.
I don't know.
And you have to do it. You have to be that guy all year round.
You have to look like
Santa. And they usually have like a streak of blonde in it. Like, it's not perfectly white. They probably bleach it like when December rolls around.
I don't know. I think it's all like cotton balls usually just put together.
We actually took the dog to PetSmart. And,
oh, my God. That is worse than the kids.
They had
you couldn't even like you can't even get the job serving kids.
They had a Santa Claus for pets, and the guy had to sit with these two dogs, Amanda's parents' dog, and Teddy. All right, so it basically looked like a guy that looked like young Mike D from the Beastie Boys, but with a full fucking beard, and it was crooked, and he had like New Balance sneakers on, so like. It's obvious it's one of their stock boys that they're like, yep, today you're fucking Santa Claus. Fuck! Just miserable. Absolutely fucking miserable. But these kids are fucking asking the impossible of the mall Santa. They're like, this is their form of praying. Like, they might pray basically, because they're told to at that age, but this is their like pure, really emotional, fucking driven prayer. To get some shit toy their parent is not going to buy them. So when they go to Santa...
Or it's actually can't because it's sold out.
Yeah. So when they go to Santa, this is their last-ditch effort of making magic happen. They plead to this drunk, this fucking outcast, who's made every decision the opposite of how he should have made it. Just every decision he's made has been poor and led him to this point. sitting around midgets or children dressed up as elves with a fucking brat on his lap.
And making demands of him. demanding to have more things than this poor bastard's ever had in his entire life.
Or the ironic...
And do nothing for them. This is not like not even like, hey, if I'm willing to work, will I get a big screen TV? It's just... Yes, I want the new Elmo doll for no good fucking reason.
Yeah, because
I've
I'm
done
here.
Nothing to earn it because I'm a kid.
Well, you have to be on the nice list and not the naughty list. Shut up.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. That's you know what? That's it's a
they,
pretty fucking thing.
Kids all figure that out. Kids
all a kid
that
is
right
supposed
away.
To do to earn presents and toys is not be an asshole.
Yeah.
Once you become an adult, like not only do you have to not be an asshole, you also have to work.
Yeah.
So a kid, basically, that's their entire deal they have with society.
Yeah.
Is don't be an asshole and you'll be rewarded with presents.
And you know what? Kids figure it out. You can be a bit of an asshole. They figure out the exact percentage of asshole you can be and still get shit on Christmas.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong. There are kids that have been so bad where it's like, you're not getting shit. Fuck Christmas for you. You're done. Your brother's getting this mound of gifts. You're getting a three-pack of Hanes. But they figure that out. They're like, okay, I'll just back it off. A little bit for next year. I was so bad this year. If I'm like 75% as bad next year, I'll probably get gifts. So I can still be a huge amount of asshole and get rewarded for it. So fuck the naughty and nice list. I just beat the system. Give me my fucking foosball table.
Well, yeah, and you know, the thing about being a kid, like you probably did too. I'm sure everyone does, where they get the gifts that you don't really want, but like things you need to exist, like your three-pack of Hanes example.
Yep.
What you know what that should be banned from actually giving your child as a gift on Christmas.
It really should be.
When you think about it, like the kid doesn't want it. The kid doesn't care if he wears the same pair of underpants every fucking day.
Yep.
So like, don't give the kid just put it in his drawer when he needs the underpants.
That's the thing. It's not a gift.
It's not a gift. If it's something he needs and would have to have either way, you know what? Give the kid 1/3 of the gifts you would have given him. Don't give him any of the practical shit.
You know
don't
what?
Give him anything he doesn't want.
When he's 35 he's busy at work and he maybe forgets to buy new underwear, then maybe you can give him a slide of 3-pack in with the gift and he'll be appreciative.
Yeah, you make that a stocking stuffer.
Yeah, you got to put that in the stocking. All the necessities should be in a fucking stocking. Cuz we've gotten like fruit snacks and shit. Like the stocking was always the biggest letdown. It's like, oh, man, all the gifts were great. I mean, I only got, like, 2 sweaters, but, I mean, everything else was awesome. Oh, wait, there's more. There's a stocking. So you go downstairs, and it's fucking toothpaste, like fruit snacks, just dumb little stocking stuffers. That's what it is. Just shit gifts.
Just bad gifts every year.
Stocking stuffer. Shit gift. I don't know. Fuck it. So you're definitely saying Mall Santa.
Mall Santa far worse than Mall Easter Bunny. Just because of the petulant brats you have to deal with. I mean, you have to deal with those same brats when the Easter Bunny comes around.
Yeah.
But they're not making the same demands. They know what they're getting.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't have any expectations.
Yeah, they have to keep the Santa.
Maybe every now and then when I was like, hey, I'd like to see what a Cadbury cream egg looks like this year.
It's true. See, yeah, because the Mall Santa has to either they're the fake beard or they're the real beard and they have to keep it going. And they're usually drunks. But being too drunk could cost them the gig. Like, they could embarrass the mall and get fired.
The mall doesn't want, like, real, like, hardcore drunks. They don't want people falling down on top of kids or vomiting on them.
Whereas the Easter Bunny...
They have
Bunny,
standards of their drunks.
Yeah, the Santas, they want to be drunk, but they have to keep it back a little bit. The Easter Bunnies are always inebriated. The Easter Bunny is probably the pinnacle of costumed employment.
There's no reason to be sober as an Easter Bunny.
You're inside. That's key because you get air conditioning. There's no lines that you have to worry about. There's no eye contact. I guarantee the other masks and shit have like little gratings. The Easter Bunny mask probably doesn't even have fucking the ability to see out of. It's probably just like one of those sensory.
Actually has like the eyeballs made of plastic.
It's a sensory deprivation chamber.
You're like a stuffed animal, but like with no innards. You are the innards of the stuffed animal.
Yeah, people pay good money to rob themselves of senses for like an hour. This guy gets paid to do it. And you know what? You don't have to have charisma and you don't have to perform either.
No, because you're not supposed to talk. You're a rabbit.
The only thing you need is a lap. That's all you need as the Easter Bunny.
Your entire skill set is to have a lap.
Make sure you have a lap. The worst job, though, might be the person who has to act like the fucking zookeeper for the Easter Bunny and guide them because they can't see. They have to, like, hold their fucking paw. Around.
Like, they're basically a seeing eye dog, yeah. But in reverse.
Yeah.
Where you're leading the blind animal around.
Yeah, because they can't see, and they have a blood alcohol rating of 2.5.
You have to prop them up.
You shape them into that throne. Yeah, they're a right, zookeeper.
You just sit there.
Yeah, they basically tame. They're like lion tamers for people with poor life skills. Just fucking hideous. Absolutely hideous. Oh, fucking. Wow. And you know what? I got something to tell you about here. You know what I'm going to talk about, Shawnee Murphy? Do you have any idea what I'm going to say right now?
Well, normally at this stage of the show, you talk about ICU 2.
Yeah, and you know what? Why wouldn't I talk about ICU 2? Why wouldn't I? It's a fantastic goddamn service. One that I would tip for. ICU 2 is video conferencing, and it's the finest shit that you'll ever do in your fucking life with your worthless fucking life. Let me tell you something about ICU 2. You go to ICU 2. That's ICU, the number 2.com. Download it. It's free to try. You can try it for free, and you'll enjoy it because they're the 2009 People's Choice Award winner for Internet Communication. What it is, it's video conferencing. You go in there. There are several rooms of people that you can be face-to-face with. And they're not just from one place. Not just one. You might guess that, Sean.
That's what I would have initially thought of.
Yeah, until you tried it, right? And mm-hmm. You discovered that potentially using ICU2, you could be face-to-face from any place. Tehran, Iran. Baghdad, Iraq. Colorado. Any place. You can be face-to-face with somebody from there. They're the original. They're not some late-to-the-game motherfucker. Okay? ICU, the number 2.com. Go there. Try it out. And when you get there, mention this fucking show. Thank you very much. That's all I want to say. Sometimes I just need to cut into a little reminder, a wake-up call to the people that might be using some other shit. Okay? There's better shit out there if you're not using ICU 2. If you are, congratulations. You made one good decision in your life.
You will avoid being Mall Santa now.
Yes. You know what? Mall Santas are welcome, but just because you've used ICU 2, there are other options available to you. You can still be a Mall Santa. I'm not saying you can't be. But
clearly, you've already made one wise decision, whereas Mall Santas have not made any.
Historically, so, historically,
you've made none. So you already, due to having chosen ICU 2, are better off than the Mall Santa.
You're better than every...
Congratulations.
Every Mall Santa that's ever been. We're doing a recorded show this week. We didn't make mention of that before, but we're doing a recorded show because 2 weeks ago, Sean, you were unable to be around. For the show.
That's true.
And it comes to pass, this week, you're also not able to be a part of the show. So we wanted to make sure that we didn't have just like these staggered gaps and just constantly miss shows. So we're doing one ahead of time. It's new material, obviously, and it's for you guys. We're doing that for you. But now, why are we doing this?
I started up my hockey season.
There it is.
And my hockey season has, I don't know, I think we counted it up the one night. I think it was like 6 games over the next 4 months or so that happened to show up on Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
And I can't do the show live on those nights.
So we're going to do something for you there. You had a game last week or 2 weeks
two,
ago.
2 weeks ago I had a game, yeah.
How'd it
go? On a Tuesday.
Good game. You guys win?
My team actually did win the game.
Good.
I was not there to see the win, though. I had an altercation, as sometimes happens during hockey matches.
Seriously?
And not only did I have an altercation, I kind of got my ass kicked.
See?
Yeah.
Payback.
Well, you know what? No, it's not really fair because here's what shook out. This was we were playing a team at the time we were tied for first place with.
All right.
So it's a lot riding on the game. Now, granted, it was only, I think, the third game of the season. But so two teams that were 2-0, it might have been 3-0 at that point.
All right.
But there was like three undefeated teams, and we were two of them. And so there's a lot of high tension there. So it's a pretty chippy match. A lot of stuff behind the scenes, like when the refs aren't looking, you know, you might get a stick in your side or get tripped up a little bit. Stuff that, you know, if the refs were looking, you'd get in trouble for. So a lot of that's going on. And the other team had actually taken a 2-0 lead against us, so they had a pretty good lead. And this is early in the second period now. I kind of get in front of the goalie. You know, even though I'm not of big size, for whatever reason, the area I play best is to be the guy in front of the goal, screening, trying to do some chip shots in near there. I don't really have a great distance shot, so I like to, you know, be able to knock in rebounds and things of that nature. So that's where I was. The guy on my team shoots it. I try to deflect. I deflect it up into the goalie's chest. Bounces down. It's loose. I smack at it a couple times. It actually ends up squirting loose, but the ref blows the whistle because he's trying to avoid, you know, me smacking the goalie repeatedly with the stick, which is, you know, what happens. It sucks. But then I get hit from behind pretty good because I was near the goalie. It's kind of shit that happens in every hockey game. You're near a goalie. Someone comes in and hits you. Just the way it works.
Yeah.
So I really didn't take any offense to it, but another guy on my team, I guess, had a different angle of it and took a little bit more offense to it than I did. And he comes and he nails the guy that just hit me.
Okay. So now shit started.
So he hits him. And usually it's one hit. You know, you're done. So he hit me. He got hit. That should have been it. But the guy on my team hits the guy and then continues skidding past. The other guy gets up and knocks him over from behind. Hits him. And my teammate, you know, is now kind of on his knees. He spins around, and the other guy's now ready to fight him. He's coming at him. Fists are swinging at him.
Fists are flying. As you've been known to say.
Okay. As I've been known to say. Yes. And so my teammate actually, and this is surprising for him because he's usually one who's very quick to be ready to fight.
Yeah.
He's not fighting back. He's just kind of like pushing the guy away and like saying, dude, stop. You know, I don't want to fight.
Yeah.
The guy keeps coming at him. And I don't know what happened. One of two things happened, and I'll just put it in the, hey, you know, the rest of the incident was kind of a little bit of a blur to me. So I'm not sure exactly what happened. One of two things either happened. Either I got annoyed that this guy wasn't stopping going after my teammate, or someone else actually jumped in and started like pushing my teammate away. I'm not sure which of those things happened, but regardless of which of those things occurred, I ended up jumping in at the guy that was going after my teammate.
So you don't remember why you jumped in?
I don't remember why I jumped in. It was one of those two reasons. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly which one it was. It was one of those two reasons, though.
You sure not a third reason? Like maybe maybe he had a couple of a certain brand of chips for lunch and he burped. And
you
like blood in the water for a shark. You just fucking charged him for that orange dust that came out of his mouth.
I'm pretty sure that was not it.
So you jumped in on this dude, and what did you do to him?
So I jumped in, and I think at first I just pushed him away, and then I think I got popped in my mask. I wear a full cage because I broke my nose 10 years ago playing hockey. You know what? I'm not a professional. It's not worth getting my face more mangled up than it already is.
So wait, people don't wear the full mask?
A lot of people don't. But I wear the full cage because I don't want that to happen. So I got hit in the cage, but then basically that sent me into a ballistic rage. Of which I then grabbed the guy's jersey and I started punching him in the head repeatedly. So the fight.
How is this acceptable behavior?
It's really not.
Holy shit.
It's really not.
Can you get arrested for a hockey fight?
You know, you probably could, but I've never heard of it happening, but you probably could. So but, you know, I'm punching him in a helmet. It's probably not really doing much.
Okay.
But the basis is I'm actually doing pretty well in this altercation now because I'm hitting him, he's not hitting me. The next thing I know,
oh shit,
my helmet is ripped off, like complete. I mean, so I got a full cage helmet on with a chin strap. My helmet is ripped off my head. I am back onto the ice. Like my back is flat on the ice.
Wait, this dude overturned you?
No, I had some big motherfucking guy. Like probably, if I were to guess, somewhere between 230 and 260, and definitely much taller than me. So like the 6'3", 6'4" area.
Jesus Christ
is on top of me, punching me in the face.
Now he's punching. Now it's an actual fucking like your excuse of like, well, we had helmets on and
I'm getting punched right in my lip and nose now.
You're getting
by some guy who outweighs me by 100 pounds.
Jesus.
Who all the while he's hitting me is screaming, I'll fucking kill you! I'll fucking kill you!
How is this accept? And you sign up for this shit? See, you know what? You know what? How many you've been in? How many fights recently? Two.
Well, this will be two now.
Yeah, two. In how many weeks? Maybe less than 2 months.
Less than 2 months.
You're on a course for destruction.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to learn my lesson now.
So you're not going to immediately jump in now.
No, I probably still wouldn't.
This guy was.
I just wouldn't have expected that all of a sudden I was getting my ass kicked. Because you know, like, it really became a one-on-one fight. Like, it was like a 1-on-0 fight prior to me jumping in, and then it might have become like 2-on-0. Because again, I don't really know exactly what happened to transpire me jumping in.
Okay.
But at the very worst, I made it 1-on-1 because my teammate was literally not fighting back. He was getting punched.
Yeah, you know what? You saw fighting. That. You saw your guy didn't want to fucking fight, and you're like, "That's bullshit. Someone has to fight. I'm coming off a win." And you fucking skated over whatever the fuck you did.
I was already pretty nearby. It was like maybe like a stride and a half away. This guy was.
And you
at the time.
Spread eagle dove on this fucking guy and started wailing on him. And you got your ass kicked. Yeah. Would you say you got your ass kicked?
I definitely like that guy. He could have done anything to me at that point. There would have been no stopping. He wanted to sodomize me. He would have been able to have that. I mean,
yeah. See, that's the thing. A hockey fight is fucking legally assault. That's a crime, but it's cool because it's in hockey. Like, if he raped you, would it be a hockey rape?
It's a hockey rape.
And people just overlook it?
Oh, you know, it's just during hockey. Yeah. Happens all the time.
Listen, he checked him really hard in the anus. It's just it's boys being boys. When the puck's on the ice. Like, or some other grandiose fucking sport is war fucking euphemism. I don't know. To me, the hockey fight shit, you know what? Do it all you want. Throw it in the fucking courts. You're not pros. You're not entertaining anybody. Is there anybody in the stands?
Yeah, there's like a couple people that might know someone else on the team.
Yeah,
you know?
Like four people.
Yeah, about that.
You guys are risking your life to entertain four people.
It's not really. We're not there to entertain them. That's not our motivation by this. It's not entertainment. It's
are you not entertained? Four people at a fucking ice skating rink. Jesus.
But yeah, so now the guy's on top of me screaming how he's gonna kill me. He actually stops punching me, which is thankful to me because I would rather be screamed at than punched at that point.
Yeah.
And he ends up getting off of me. Now the ref comes over, and this ref, he's this douchebag like kid. He just has no business reffing a friggin' men's hockey league. I mean, he's just like this pathetic-looking pussy faggot dude. And he starts yelling.
So I guess his call didn't go your fucking way, the way you're describing it.
No, well, I hate him long before this, and I don't think I'd ever gotten called anything by him before. But he starts yelling at me, like, to get out of the rink. And I'm on my back. My helmet is strewn across the ice. My stick is God knows where. I'm like, I'm actually hurt now because I got punched repeatedly. It didn't feel good. You know, not like I was sitting there in tears or anything, but I didn't feel like I was in great shape at that point. I mean, my head was hurting. It wasn't good.
Yeah.
So I look at him, I'm like, can I get up first? And he starts yelling at me again to get out of the rink. And I'm like, I'm going to get up before I leave the rink, okay?
So basically, that's two people that disapproved of your actions.
I get up. I grab my helmet. I skid over to my bench. I grab my other stick. I come off the rink. Now, meanwhile, I'm thinking, all right, so I got kicked out. Fine, I just got in a fight. I'm supposed to get kicked out. I'm thinking that the guy who was going after my teammate who went after him should be kicked out. My teammate shouldn't. My teammate wasn't fighting. And certainly the guy who just knocked my block off and punched me right in the face should be getting kicked out. And then potentially this phantom maybe yes, maybe no guy that jumped in on my teammate that I don't know if really happened or not. But if there was one, he should have been kicked out.
That was your split personality.
My split person. I didn't jump into my team. I like the guy. I'm not going to hurt him.
Sure.
So I go in the locker room, and I'm the only one there. And then, like, 2 minutes later, my teammate comes walking in the locker room. They tossed him out, too. And I'm like, what the fuck did they throw you out for? You know? You didn't even fight. Like, I was the one fighting for you. And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, who'd they kick out from their team? The only person they kicked out on their team was the guy who was trying to fight my teammate.
Oh, the first guy, not the guy that was pounding you into oblivion?
So yeah, the guy who ripped my helmet off, knocked me back first onto the ice, and then punched me and screamed how he was going to kill me. He still got to play.
Jesus.
I was so mad about that. Like, I didn't care that I got kicked out. I kind of deserved to get kicked out. And I ended up actually getting suspended a game for it. But the guy who attacked me from behind ripped off my helmet and punched me in the face while screaming, "I'm going to kill you," should have clearly at least had the same punishment I did.
Maybe five minutes in the booth.
And did not. I don't even think he got anything. I think he was completely scot-free. So that is why I hate this douchebag faggot pussy ref. Not because he threw me out and not because...
How old? He's like 20-something?
Yeah, he's young. He's
What's it feel like to be yelled at by a young kid?
I yelled back at him. I'm
authoritatively. Get out of the rink! Get out of the rink. You were yelled at and told to get out of a rink, and you're in your 30s. Get out of the rink, sir! You don't fit in here! Oh, shit.
But I don't care that I got tossed out. It's just that fucking dude who beat me up should have gotten kicked out, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, you're talking about a fight mismatch. I mean, this is like a guy who he probably was 250 pounds.
Jesus.
And I'm weighing in at 155, and he attacked me from behind, knocked me over from behind. I think it was an extreme mismatch.
Did you lose a tooth or anything like that?
No, I didn't. Unfortunately, didn't lose a tooth. You know, so yeah. I'm okay on that front.
No dentist for you.
No dentist for me.
Yeah. Well, guess what?
What's that?
I took in your whole story. From a couple weeks back of you going to the dentist, this small talk shit about the summer and all that, and I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, everybody goes through it, whatever. I've never paid attention really to how fucking just cookie cutter it really is. I went to the dentist for my checkup, and now my small talk alarm was just completely extra sensitive because of your story.
Yeah, I turned it on. I made you notice these things.
Yeah. It was the same story as you, except I didn't lie, so it was over quick. I didn't have to talk. I was like, yep, Outer Banks.
Yeah, but you actually did something, so that's different. It's not fair. It's not a fair comparison.
I didn't extend it. I didn't make it more exciting than it was. Yep, family. Yep, Outer Banks. Yep, week. Yep, good. Done. And so now I'm getting my cleaning, and I'm tilted back. And you know what happens? They get the little spit sucker or whatever, and they start working on your teeth. Well, this lady, for some reason, she's been doing the cleaning thing for years. Years. I remember being a kid and having her be the hygienist. Wasn't working the vacuum very well. So my mouth was filled with fucking spit. It was probably picking up a little bit, but I guess maybe the angle my head was at or something. My mouth was filled with fucking spit. And I felt a little bit of the beginnings of some allergies. I fucking sneezed. And a quarter cup of saliva went into her face. I wanted to laugh. I wanted to enjoy it. I could not help but feel fucking thoroughly embarrassed. The first thing I said, not sorry, but... Wow, has that happened to you before?
You didn't even apologize, you dick.
I was just amazed. Like, I wanted to make sure if I was the first one that has ever happened to. She goes, no, it happens like every week. Someone sneezes saliva into this woman's face every week.
Like, that might be worse than the mascot job.
Yeah, I know.
Like bodily fluids are getting launched at your face. I guess that's why they wear the mask.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, why else would they wear the mask? They have no reason to wear the mask.
I always thought,
right?
It was like, well, they might have germs, and this is a courtesy to me.
No, they're protecting themselves from these disgusting people who cough and sneeze into their face once a week.
Yeah.
But that means 52 times a year, someone is expelling bodily fluids into their face that they didn't ask for.
Yeah. And it's a lot. Maybe, you know what? Just like you getting injured by Chuck E. Cheese, she might have learned that she might need to work that vacuum a little bit better.
Maybe she learned her lesson.
And I didn't apologize. Why would
not
I?
Not at all. Not at all, really.
I can't control it. It's not. I didn't put the saliva there. It just accumulated.
Really? So you didn't? You don't apologize?
No.
Not even like an excuse me or anything? I mean, you think about like, would it excuse me?
I think I said, oh, God.
Oh, God.
I said, oh, God.
That's your version of an apology.
But you know what? Now that I think about it.
Basically, oh, God might have been blaming. blaming the Almighty for what this occurred.
Well, no, because I think now that I'm remembering a little bit better, she said, "Oh, don't worry about it."
Oh, right away.
Yeah. So I mean, but I mean, I guess maybe I still should have said I'm sorry. But what am I sorry for?
You sneezed in someone's face.
I was waiting for the polite, like, ease me back up and let me spit from that fucking cup that gets magically refilled every time. I empty that cup every time. They have to have a foot pedal or some shit.
I think they do have a foot pedal for that.
That might be it. I finally figured it out. I've unraveled that mystery.
You've unraveled the mystery of what goes on there.
But I needed that break, and she just wanted to power through this.
Yeah, I hate when they don't give you the break every now and then just to rinse out the mouth.
And I was getting that, like wrinkling my nose and shit, like really trying to avoid sneezing. Like, I couldn't. I think she might have asked me something, and like as soon as like I tried to speak, it just fucking came out.
Just launched all over her face.
Yeah, and there, it was definitely.
Was she wearing
skin.
Glasses or anything, or did it go like?
She
right
had
in her
glasses.
Eyes?
She had glasses, okay. And she had the mask. But her cheeks and like the and the crow's feet. I got saliva on her fucking crow's feet.
Oh man.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen.
So does she like? What happens at that point? Did she stop and go and
she
rinse
changed?
Off?
She changed the mask.
But she didn't like wash the rest off her face.
She left the room, so I'm assuming. Okay. I'm assuming she didn't leave it there. Like they needed to get stills at the end of a porno. She obviously wiped it off. I mean, she didn't have fucking wetness on her face. She changed the mask. Wiped off her glasses. Okay. Come back in, and she's like, "Yeah, you know, it happens every now and then." Like she now that's the thing she wanted to talk about. I mean, I was curious if I was the only one that had done this, but apparently it's a regular occurrence.
See, I would have taken that conversation. I actually had to go back to the dentist last week.
I'm telling you, your teeth, you didn't want to admit it. You got your teeth fucked up from that mountain of man.
No, I had old fillings that had to come out.
Ah.
So they had to do the get rid of the metal, finally.
Yeah, okay.
Trick there. So I went for that, and the dentist, you know, talk about a conversation that interests me less. Talk to me about how he serves volunteers in the church and how he does the dentist work for every clergy member in the church and about how he really enjoys it. And then he started talking about how he used to be Catholic, but then had to get divorced. And so he wasn't allowed to be a Catholic anymore and had to be a different, like Episcopalian. And then how he likes it that they have women preachers or whatever the fuck they're called.
Is this the guy that said he read every book?
Yes, the same guy who's read every book about the Yankees. But he's talk about a topic that interests me less than church.
Yeah.
And
for those who don't know, Shawnee Murphy is not interested in church or the meaning behind church. Actually, both meanings, socializing, seeing your community, and praying to a deity.
Every possible reason regarding church that you could invent, I am opposed to any minutiae. If you break it down into all of its individual components, I like none of them.
Really? There couldn't be anything. Like maybe looking at weird people? Because that's what I like to people watch in church.
Do you?
I do.
Do you? See, if that's an is that actually an accepted component of church?
Probably not, because I got yelled at once. Because this guy was wearing this. Okay, they have the collection people, the guy with the basket that goes around.
Yep.
And they kind of work for the church. They walk up and down. They hand the baskets out. Well, this one guy, who I always thought was a little fruity, he had a fucking midriff revealing turtleneck on that looked like Under Armour before Under Armour existed. And he had like a sachet to his walk. I'm telling you, this was at like the age where this I want to laugh, but I want to hold it because I saw two episodes of Beavis and Butthead, and that's what they did in two of them. And I held it until like I was making that noise, like really loud in a silent church, and I got yelled at afterwards by my parents. Not to disturb the church. You're disturbing the services. But I couldn't. And I also couldn't say, well, there was a flaming homosexual there. It was really, really amusing.
I don't feel like he belongs in church, I got to be honest.
No, no. It's like if you took the Jesus statue, like someone in that shape, and put like a really skin-tight fucking shirt on him and have him saunter up and down. The guy had a Jesus build.
He's built like Jesus.
He was. But anyway, I think you would have enjoyed that aspect of church, even though it's not really acceptable.
I wouldn't have minded that.
See, that
certainly,
doesn't, that
being
doesn't
told,
come with church.
Being told about how he likes the fact that there are now female preachers and how a lot of women are now going into the clergy after they've done other things in their lives and how interesting that is because they bring such a different perspective. All the while, I'm getting my fillings drilled out of my face. It's bad enough if he was talking to me about strippers.
Yeah.
You got a mechanical instrument grinding away something that's probably been in my mouth for 14 years.
Terrible.
And I had to listen to him talk about how interesting it is that there are now women preachers who had their families and then entered the clergy, and how wonderful it was. Fucking
that's
miserable.
Probably the worst moment you've experienced in a long time.
I would rather get punched by a 250-pound man screaming he's going to kill me, I think, so, if I had a choice between the two things.
If you were sat down in a theater and shown two reels of your life, moments that you could relive, being beaten to near death by this hockey man, or having that conversation while being drilled, you would choose the hockey fight.
Well, you know, the hockey thing wasn't until near death.
I
came home.
They modified
home
it for the movie.
With a puffed up lip and a scratched up chin from where my chin strap got ripped off, and I had a headache. So it's not quite equivalent to being beaten until near death.
Well, no, they punched up the screenplay a little bit.
All right, so they punching up the screenplay for the dentist side too, then?
Oh, yeah. It's played
He's actually beating me with a cross.
He's played by Robin Williams, and he's doing hilarious impressions of like, the southern preacher, and he's rolling his eyes, and it's hilarious. So they punched that up a little bit.
All right, so yes, I'm choosing the beating versus the small talk. Like, small talk I hate. We've already discussed this. I hate small talk.
Now it's religious small talk.
Small talk about religion.
He's talking about how he does the work for everybody in the congregation.
Yeah, yes, that's it. Well, you know,
all
really
the preachers,
that,
all the preachers
all,
and
all
shit.
All the preachers, everyone there. Like, so it all started out because he was telling me, "Oh, I just got. I'm sorry, I'm late," because he was a couple of minutes late. I was just having lunch with a friend of mine who's a preacher. He every time he comes in for his cleaning, I go out to lunch with him.
You know, when someone says, "I'm sorry, I'm late," do you care why?
Does it
ever change your life to find out why?
No, especially in that environment. It was just like, what does it matter? You're late. You're late. You're late. I have to wait for you regardless. I have no choice.
And he actually made your opinion of him worse.
Yes, by trying to like describe why he was late.
I'm a man of God. I love God. I'm sorry I'm so late. You know, don't hold my God loving against me. Let me drill your face and talk about God. By the way, I've read everything about the Yankees.
About God.
This guy sounds like the biggest inconvenience of a human.
It really, for me, I mean, you talk about like two things I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't like religion and I don't like the Yankees. And this guy decides to I legitimately actually believe he's a good dentist.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's probably no chance I'd continue going to – although there is a convenience in for me of the fact that I make the appointment for the next time I'm going to be there while I'm there.
Yeah.
So I might – I am kind of lazy on that kind of a thing. So if I left going to that dentistry, I would probably either never go to the dentist again. Actually, it's probably what would happen. Those would be my two choices. Because I need the fact that they make the appointment for me right then and there. Otherwise, I just don't think it would end up happening. I need that to happen.
So like, the first appointment would never happen. All dentists do that. But because if you left that one, you would have to initiate the first one. It would never happen for you again.
Yeah, I don't think so. Because like, that means I would have to go out of my way to go and make the appointment. And it's one of those things, like getting a dentist appointment, it's like – it's something you need 6 months from now to go get your cleaning or whatever. You don't think about it. Hey, I better go make that appointment now. And if you wait 6 months, you know what the wait on a dentist is?
Oh,
like to go and get a cleaning.
Huge.
You have to wait months to get into that appointment schedule. So if you wait until you actually need it, you're going several months beyond that, and then it's like it's just frustrating, and you don't.
It's
never,
too late.
It's too late.
The cost. You add a tooth to the cost.
I mean, literally, this happened to me. I had my dentist growing up, and at some point, like your mom always makes your dentist appointments throughout your life, and then at some point that stops happening.
Yep.
And I never stepped in and started making the appointments. So I ended up, and this is horrible, I ended up going years and years without seeing the dentist. And it was a miserable experience because I did that. I mean, when I finally did go back, like I had to have like laser work done on my gums.
Jesus.
Because like, I went years. So like normally you're supposed to go twice a year, get your cleaning. I went several years without it. And I had to have like the everything removed from my like, and it was good work because what they do is the lasers like kill the bacteria and they make it so your teeth don't end up rotting out of your face. But I had that. I had a bunch of cavities that had to get drilled, and so like that was miserable going through all that. It was like weeks and weeks and weeks of work. And then now that I have this standing appointment where I go in there for my cleaning every 6 months, except for this incident here where I had to have old fillings drilled that had nothing to do with this guy. I have not had to have any other appointment but my cleanings, and this has worked out very well for me.
Good.
And so I will put up with some being preached to about God and women preachers and how wonderful they are for the fact that I have not had to go through miserable pain.
If the guy ever asked you to go to a mass or a go to church with him once, would you go?
Who would do that? Would someone do that?
I think that's the type of guy to do it. That it's a big part of his life. It's something that he's into.
See, that's tough because you're talking about a dentist.
Fuck yeah.
Who literally has your pain threshold at his fingertips. Like, yep. He can decide how much pain to deliver to you at any moment.
You better hope that your fake praying skills just really hold up.
You've seen me fake pray.
Under intense scrutiny. You are a fucking top of the line, AAA fake prayer.
Yeah, you know I'm good because the only reason you know that I'm not really praying and I'm just thinking about like titties and stuff is because we're close and you know my feeling on the matter.
Well, yeah.
But I think I could sell a fake pray to religious dentist man.
You know what? You go a little too intense though sometimes. So he might
have been, I'm really religious, man.
Ask you like what your thoughts on certain parts of it were, but like in your head, like you said, and then it's like you have no idea what the fuck was said or preached about.
Yeah, I could be.
And
you
have to make it up.
Yeah, that's true.
And you have like a somber look on your face, like you're crying for the unborn. like you have like a holding back tears while praying type thing. Like Amy Grant is performing or something, and you're waving your arms. You get into it with your fake praying.
Because I'm thinking about titties.
You know what it is? You put as much...
You give yourself 30 seconds to think about titties, you'll be into it too.
You give yourself... You put as much heart into fake praying as like the guys at an air guitar competition put into that, like the showmanship, just pride of the product you're putting out. You really do love it. So anyway,
enjoy it.
So you had this terrible moment, just a bad moment in your life, but
it was
you turned it all around at Jimmy's birthday party when you finally made a lifetime goal happen. An alcohol-related, it's not a lifetime goal.
Actually, it's like a weeks-long goal.
It's a weeks-long goal. You've been fucking obsessing over a certain beverage.
Yeah, well, so I mentioned it earlier in tonight's show. I've been watching Mad Men a lot.
Yes.
Like, actually, today is the day I finish the, I'm current now on Mad Men. I have now watched every episode of Mad Men. I've caught myself up fully over the past several weeks. Fantastic show, but it's the protagonist has a drink he seems to drink always that I had never even heard of before the show. It's called an Old Fashioned.
Yes.
So the one episode I see them actually making this, and I'm like, oh, it's got whiskey, and I like whiskey. That's usually my drink of choice. And they like had taken cherries and put them in the bottom of the whiskey glass, and they're like mashing them up. And this whole thing, it actually looks really, really good. So I go and I look up the recipe. I'm like, oh, that recipe sounds really good. And so normally when I drink whiskey, I have to have something to cut it with. I usually have Jack and Coke is my drink of choice.
Yeah.
And so I have something to cut it with, but I'm thinking, hey, maybe I can get drunker faster by not having the Coke get involved. I mean, cherries are going to add flavor to this thing. They had like a sugar cube that goes in there. I mean, all these things that sound like they're just going to cut down the bitter taste of the whiskey.
Yeah.
And like maybe I can actually get more for my beverage dollar and time by starting to drink these things. But then I started thinking, I'm like, I've never ever seen anyone order or drink one of these before in real life.
Yeah, it's one of those drinks where it's like, it's really old. So like a Frank Sinatra would probably have ordered them, or they would get that and then maybe order a Manhattan for their friend or Rob Roy or so. It's like you don't see them ordered anymore.
You never see them ordered. So
no,
we're out on Saturday night, you and I at our friend's birthday party.
And at this point, it's been fucking 3-4 weeks of anytime an alcohol is mentioned, like old fashions. I really want to try. They look delicious. You probably even fucking sent me a picture of one, and it did look really good.
I did not send you a fucking picture. Yeah. I might have sent you a link.
No, you know what it was? We were out, and you showed me a picture on your phone. And I got to admit, it looked delicious. It did. But I was nowhere near as psyched for this drink as you.
Well, see, like you watch Four Seasons of Mad Men and also enjoy whiskey, you probably would be.
So does he do this every episode?
Not every episode, but he drinks every episode.
Okay.
Definitely, but he doesn't – like usually when he goes out to a restaurant in the show or goes to a bar in the show, he'll order the old-fashioned. That's usually his drink of choice.
Sure, absolutely.
So I talk you into let's get old-fashions while we're at this party thing.
Yeah, you did. You said, you know what? Here we go. We're going to do it. Like, what? Old-fashions. Like that. You were psyched. So I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll try one too. You've been – upselling this drink, you're psyched. I'll do this. I'll go in with you on this. So the waitress comes by, right?
So the waitress comes by.
How does this go down?
Can I get something for you? I'm like, yes, we'll have two old fashions.
Yeah, you ordered for me like I'm a complete fucking faggot. That's
what am I gonna do? Like order? Hey, I'll have an old fashioned, and let you go. Hey, I'll have an old fashioned. That would have looked worse.
I'll have what he's having.
Yeah, believe me, I helped you out on this one.
Okay, sure. Yeah. So two old fashions, you order it.
Two old fashions.
Yeah.
The waitress looks at us, or looks at me specifically, and goes, "An old fashioned what?"
Yeah, she was terrible. She was working off a fucking list of acceptable drinks because it's a party. There was an open bar, and apparently, old fashioned is so old that it predates her fucking printed out little Excel sheet that she has in her pocket. I don't see it on here. Old fashioned what? And your response was incredible. You did like a Ralph Cramden fucking wave. Old fashioned.
Just laid my hand perpendicular or parallel to the floor and just bent it at the elbow and just waved at her.
You did it really smoothly. Like you're wiping the dust off of an old shelf. Old fashioned. And she's like, oh, okay. Okay. She was completely clueless about anything.
She had no fucking idea.
She was a fucking miserable server. And I'm glad that we didn't... Oh, I'm sorry. It was open bar, right? It was open bar. But since we wanted to be... we wanted to relive your favorite TV show characters, drink or whatever the fuck, we wanted to have these old fashions. They weren't on her list, so we had to pay for the drinks. She was a hideous fucking waitress. So I didn't want to tip her, but I put the question out to the table. I'm like, do I have to tip her?
Of course, certainly you have to. 20%.
I'm like, you can't avoid tipping her. I mean, it's just you can't. It's just as much as you don't want to, you kind of have to. And I don't think I said 20%. You were asking me how much, and I was having trouble doing the math because I was like 8 drinks.
You know
what?
I'm extending it a little bit. I'll give you that. But
yeah,
however, you said you have to tip. So I start writing the tip.
I did say you have to tip. Yes,
yeah.
I did say that.
Yeah. So I wrote the tip in there. We pay everything. And later on, I was like, she totally did not deserve a tip. I don't think we should tip waitresses. And I'm thinking, what the fuck?
I didn't say that.
I think it should be included in the price.
I did not. Yeah, I agreed with that while your girlfriend was screaming at her about the fact that we got charged. And I later had some sympathy in that. Yes, I don't think tipping should happen, but I did say the same thing earlier. I don't think we should be tipping waitresses. I think they should just be paid what I would have tipped anyway.
I don't think that she should have been tipped. I'm kind of
sore. She should have been fired.
She should. You know what? She did such a bad job. We should have been extended the privilege of firing her.
We should have been able to fire someone else's employee.
Oh, how great is it? You know, that's the ultimate experience. Not having like the order whatever you want from the menu, guys, or come here on me next time. No, line up your employees, and I will fire one at my choosing. That is the ultimate live like a king service.
That would be.
That would
be
devote me for life to your fucking restaurant. So I got to say, old fashioned, eh.
See, I actually, you know, I don't drink all that much anymore. It's certainly not to the level I used to. You and I used to, well, certainly me, I used to be a borderline Friday night alcoholic.
Oh, yeah.
Where we'd go out every Friday night. I would get completely shit-faced like I was a frat boy.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was every week, and we just don't do that anymore, which is probably good for the old health.
Yes.
But I used to be able to drink whiskey. I mean, I used to joke that I just needed a splash of Coke just to cut the taste a little bit with, make it a little sweet. But I could drink an entire glass of whiskey, and I'm sure there's tons of people that can do that. But
yeah.
That was the way it was for me. If I just had a little bit to cut the taste, I could have any amount of whiskey in a glass. And it's definitely not that way for me anymore, so it's been a while.
I mean, this is an incredibly strong drink, and you did the research. It's the oldest drink.
It is the first cocktail
ever.
So, it is actually that is the first time the word cocktail was ever used.
So these drunks from the days of fucking cowboys or whatever felt the same way as you about whiskey. They wanted to cut it a little, but since the drink,
they didn't have Coke yet.
The drink predated mixers. They just decided to mash fruit in the bottom and just maybe stir it a little.
Right. So that doesn't really cut it too much.
No.
So, but
not at
so
all.
It was pretty hard at first.
Yeah.
And but I, you know what? After stirred it up a little bit, some of the ice melted. I was fine. You, on the other hand,
didn't like it.
Had somehow
it's earlier, not my thing.
Earlier in the evening, had ordered yourself a ginger ale.
Yes.
You ordered a ginger ale randomly.
I wanted some ginger ale.
And use that as your mixer to mix down your old fashioned with.
I gotta say, when I was taking a sip of ginger ale and a sip of old fashioned and mixing it, like using my okay.
Using the cut to wash down what was in there?
Yeah. It was good together. But then I poured the old fashioned in the ginger ale and I pretended it was good until it was gone. But it was actually pretty bad.
See, I didn't really mind it after the well, two things. I kind of started acclimating myself to the taste of whiskey again.
Yeah,
and I mean, I had a lot of whiskey that night, but it had all been mixed with Coke. But acclimated myself to a stronger blend of whiskey, and the ice melted a little bit, and the cherry flavor kind of like kicked in. So actually, I didn't mind it. But what I did notice was I got pretty fucking drunk.
Yeah.
Like instantaneously, because I was basically drinking a glass of whiskey at that point, which on the whole, the price of the drinks, it was pretty reasonable.
Where the fuck we were in fucking we were in the middle of Pennsylvania. Do you understand?
We were
not in a metropolitan area. Let's just say that. Where the fuck did these people get off? $8 a goddamn drink.
Yeah, but think about that in the equivalent of terms of a shot. And that was several shots worth of alcohol, which I don't care where you are. What are you paying? A minimum of $4 for a shot, the dingiest of places.
Ugh.
And that's without mixing it with anything. That's just pouring a glass and feeding it to you.
I don't know. Just let me be old and complain about money.
Okay.
Where do you get off? Where do you get the guts?
I thought for the fact that for $8 – we got a drink that will make you pretty drunk off of one.
Yeah, but you know what? I was dissatisfied.
Well, you didn't like the drink.
I was dissatisfied.
You know what the thing is? You're not a whiskey man.
I'm not. I'm a vodka guy. Now, just like Jimmy.
I should say, there's someone else we know that's not a whiskey man.
No.
Who happened to come by and see what we were doing.
He saw the hubbub. He saw the goddamn drinks. He's like, what's that? There's fruit in it. It looks interesting.
Yeah, he had the same exact reaction that you and I actually both did.
It looked good.
Which is, it looks good. You have mashed up fruit in the bottom of a glass.
A fucking orange wedge. It looks delightful. So he orders one.
Except he knows he doesn't like whiskey. So his actual order was, yeah, I'll have one of those old fashions that these guys are having. But with vodka.
So he drank straight vodka with a fucking cherry in it. and expected it to taste like it looked.
He takes a sip, and his face did that pucker up. Yeah. I'm disgusted by what I'm consuming face. And he was far, far drunker than either of us was at that point. He was
drunk on weak vodka tonics. Weak vodka, like splash of vodka in tonics with like lime, extra lime and shit. So his drinks were relatively tasty. And he has this one fucking pure vodka drink with like maybe something, some sludge you could stir up to make it not taste as strong, but it's still strong as fuck. He did not like it. He left it there. And he was wasted.
It?
No.
He didn't finish it. I didn't realize that he didn't take it with him.
He took one sip and left it at our table.
He could have poured that into a, mixed it the same way you did and with tonic. It would have been great.
Nah. He didn't want to.
It would have been great, though. Think about it. I mean, vodka with some tonic and cherries.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been effectively the same.
And you know what? You wouldn't have had to pay $8 for that because it's really just a vodka tonic.
Remember when, because this was in the midst of Amanda yelling at the waitress about getting charged.
Yeah.
And then she wanted to charge him. And I said, oh, he's the birthday boy.
Yeah.
You can't charge him. I don't think they charged him for it.
Nah, they didn't. Yeah. They didn't. But maybe it's because they realized, hey, all we did was put fucking fruit in the bottom of a glass.
That's basically it.
I don't know.
And a sugar cube.
Well, that was happy birthday to Jimmy, I want to say. 30 years old. Thank you for inviting us. I just got to say, I felt a little old. I'm also 30 myself. You're in your 30s.
I acknowledged my actual age during the last show.
I'm just going to use that forever.
All right, I'm in my 30s, no matter how old I actually am.
At the conclusion of Jimmy's party, 30-year-old birthday party, where were we ushered to? Where did we go?
Apparently, upstairs from this restaurant, there is a club.
Just that, constantly. I understand you're young, maybe. You're young, whatever. I can't help. I was never a club guy, and I'm too old to be in the goddamn club now. I don't see that as a fun thing.
I mean, the first thing I said to you when we walked in there was, I have way too little hair left to be in here.
And you gotta understand, like, you felt like an outcast. You felt like a misfit. And there was a guy in a wheelchair dancing in the fucking center of the goddamn floor. There was a guy wheelchair dancing. There was a homosexual man in fucking white alligator shoes playing the bouncer of the VIP area. Like, honestly, we were probably the best people there. I don't want to seem egotistical, and I don't really have a lot of self-confidence, but let me just say this. I was better than everybody that I didn't know at that place. Every stranger in that place, I didn't know you. I am far better than you. That's how I felt. Because this is, and I'm not shitting on the party, okay? This is every club. To me, their enjoyment is that. It's that. Okay. You're gonna get a girl, and you're gonna bang this fucking broad, whatever. But on the nights where that doesn't happen for you, you still look at it as a good night. They still rationalize it as that being a fun night, dude. We were out of the club, a good. Well, I'm sorry, I'm fucking better than you. My fun sitting in a $10 chair from Staples because my good one broke. Playing a dumb game on Facebook and arguing with friends of my friends on Facebook about Cablevision. That's my fucking fun, and I'm far better than you. I'm too old to be in a club. I don't know. Why don't we just wrap this fucking thing up? It's been, you know what? It's been a while now. We've been talking. And I want to say thank you for listening to the DJ New Style Show. Shawnee Murphy wants to say thank you, but he's too choked up now. He is fake praying, and he's into it. So, thank you very much for tuning in. We'll see you next week. DJNewStyleShow.com. Thank you.